Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 195. Wow. Real close to number 200. Pat's already wondering what kind of extravaganza we're going to have for that.
Oh, we're going to have an extravaganza?
And I gave him, you know, the blank look he normally...
We'll probably talk about comic books.
Yeah.
And Pat's nose.
No, I think we need to do something special.
And then
something special?
Colin will talk about what comes out next, the next week.
No. We need... Our listeners should tell us what they want.
Oh, those guys.
I'm looking for a table read of Star Wars.
We could do that. If they vote for it, we'll have a poll. What do they want to do?
The people will demand it.
And Colin will do any role you assign him.
I don't think I want to see what they decide for him. Because
it's kind of funny you bring this up, just because of the one podcast I listen to, I haven't listened to it because I'm not going to, but they did a... They're doing a live viewing of Star Wars.
Oh.
Okay.
And commenting on while it's
They're
on.
They're doing a commentary.
And it's like, okay, no thank you. I don't see the reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's not... if they do a commentary track, that's fine. So then you watch the movie and you play the commentary track. I get that, but... It kind of...
When I'm listening in my car...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only for, like...
Yeah.
Although, actually, you know what, Star
Wars...
Some of
those are actually pretty good riff tracks.
With Star Wars, it might really actually good. Be okay, because I've seen that movie enough. I probably know what's going on.
But oh well.
It's not something I really want to listen to.
Yeah, same here. I don't know if I would care.
Yeah. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
And for Veterans Day, our veteran is not here.
Excuse me?
Well, the other veteran is not here.
Whoa.
I figured that's why he was here.
Podcast over, Matt,
yeah,
right?
What the hell?
You probably deserve a couple jabs from him, though.
I think he actually just forgot. It slipped his mind.
Mentioning that he was not here. That's
one of his veterans is not here.
Yes.
I text that, Colin. You can get along.
Thank you. I'm going to start with a little quick editorial. I know I've talked about it lately numerous times. What?
That's just going to leave.
No, I'm not going
to
leave.
No, but like a perfect example was last week.
Podcast veteran.
Was the pre-ordering books. Now, it's not crucial, but it certainly helps. And last Wednesday, I completely sold through Claws, number one, the Grant Morrison story of Santa Claus. And
sounds fun.
Right. But so I sold through. I think one person had asked for it at the time I ordered it. So I didn't order a ton. I ordered what I thought was a good amount. Sold through on Wednesday. Had a number of people upset that I sold out. And I'm like, okay. And I just looked up before the podcast what I had sold. I ordered half of what Multiversity number 2, the last issue of Multiversity, sold. Because everybody's like, oh, well, it's Grant Morrison. You should have known. I'm like, okay, but there's a big DC event. I ordered 30, or I sold 30 copies. So this one I ordered 15, because it's kind of a niche book, especially because it's not going to be done by Christmas.
Oh, it's not?
Oh, no. It's 4 or 6 issues. It's not going to be done.
Well, if it was Marvel, it would be.
The first 4 would come out, and then the last 2 would come out in June. And
Christmas in July.
So I thought 15 was a pretty reasonable number. It is Grant Morrison, but it is also not, you know, major DC book. My point is, if there's something you want, let me know. Especially, like, with all these Marvel number ones, there's so many coming out that I have no clue on how to order. Things like, you know, like Illuminati this week, Drax last week. It's like, I'm just literally ordering blind. And
besides
things like...
guessing, that's your only way for these books.
Yeah.
Because
it is just guess.
Because
Drax, okay, what percentage of Guardians of the Galaxy do I order? And even then, it's a total guess. Had I known, I should have ordered... 10%? I would have, sadly. I ordered more than that of Drax.
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't mean everybody's going to want to.
Well, also new Guardians number one. And how's that going to sell in relation to previous ones? Because I can tell you with Howard the Duck, I ordered the same as I had on the previous Howard the Duck, and I still have about 2/3 on my shelf.
Yeah, but this is a brand new team. It has The Thing and Kitty Pryde and...
Well, that's Guardians, but I'm saying Drax. See, then I'm getting into percentages and just... If you're interested, let me know.
I wonder why Marvel would even do a Guardians book that's the Fantastic Four and X-Men, two characters that they can't use in their movies. What sense would that make?
Well, it doesn't matter. The movies don't match the books anyway.
Yeah, but they do.
I know.
Yeah,
but
the movies are good.
Hey. So that's just, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. But if there is something you're interested in, this guy, like all of a sudden everybody's coming up to me, they want to order the hardcover of the Dark Knight Master Race book. It's like, well, that's great, but my orders are already in. The print run's already set. You know, now I'm going to have none for the shelf. We're, you know, or I'm going to have people ask me the day it comes out wanting it, and I'm not going to have any for them.
And you made a pretty good point of bringing that one up.
I tried.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I ordered 30 based on 3 pre-orders, and now I'm up to about 25 pre-orders. So,
well,
I'm happy it's going to do, you know, yeah. But
there's another side of this, and you might not say it, so I'll say it. If you don't pre-order something, and they come in here, and it's sold out, you can't be mad at Colin for it.
Well, but they are.
No, but you can't be. Dexstar was a prime example.
Yeah.
I walked in here.
And I didn't have one set aside for you because I didn't know that you wanted it. But we kind of stashed one for you. And
someone else bought it. I can't be mad at that. It's my fault for not saying, hey, Colin, I'm going to want one of these. Put it aside.
And luckily, in this case, I can get one.
How many orders did you say you had for Klaus?
One.
Just one. And you said 15 yet?
Yep. Yeah.
But you can't be mad at him. I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
you can't necessarily be mad at him because you have to.
But, I mean,
he can't just have stuff ready for you because.
Just in case.
No other store is going to do that.
I mean, by the numbers, he ordered 15 times what people asked him to order.
Yeah.
So
you just can't make.
But there's just always that expectation that I will have it because normally I do.
I think that would.
I certainly didn't order it to sell out the first day. I never order.
It would be different if the idea of pull lists haven't existed for a long time. But they have, and you know, it's just you have to. If you want something, ask about it. Figure out how to get it.
Well, and
otherwise, you don't want it that bad.
But Colin makes it easy for us. He gives us the previews.
Yeah,
and he.
Not a lot of places do that either.
Right, but he has it on the podcast. He has it on the Facebook page. He has it on the website. Previews orders are
Comixology.
Which even then, if you charge for the previews, I could then understand someone not pre-ordering because I probably wouldn't buy the previews for $5. I wouldn't. I'm not going
to
buy a catalog.
Down to $4.
$4. But still.
And a lot of the time, though, like, I will ask for something, but there is that fluke, you know, time where you just completely either forget
or
something generated interest afterwards. Like, with Klaus, like, it was when Dave pointed that out.
Klaus.
I've heard it's Klaus because
I don't care if you're listening to idiots say Klaus. Klaus, it's Klaus. It's Klaus.
It's Klaus.
I'm so confused.
Is he part of the Green Lantern Corps?
If it is Klaus,
I want to pronounce it correctly when we talk
Dave.
About
it. We'll have to ask Grant Morrison.
Someone get Grant Morrison on the phone.
Colin.
Yeah. I'm saying Klaus.
I'm not Colin.
Everybody else is saying
that's what you want for this.
I'm saying Klaus with you, Dave.
Okay.
It's Santa Claus. This is ordinary story, so just Klaus.
I'm with you,
Josh. I'm
going
to say tomato. Pat's going to say tomato.
I'm going to say Burger Meister Meister
All right,
Burger.
We say Klaus. These two say Klaus. What do you say? Not to put you on the spot. But I just respect my veterans' opinions.
Thank you. Looking at it,
he's using that against the.
Thank you, Josh.
That's not a good.
Looking at it without. I would say Klaus. But because it is Santa Claus, I'm going to go with Klaus.
Yeah. You're going to go with Klaus.
You got to use your context clues.
That's right.
Wasn't the original pronunciation, though, from where the story of him comes from, wasn't it Klaus, though?
I don't know.
I know who you're talking about. Why would you take his?
No, I mean, it really is. From the story of Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is coming to town with the Burgermeister Meister Burger.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely Germanic. And
I think
it would be
I think we can all just say you can pronounce it whatever. I mean,
why didn't they just call it Kringle? It'd be so much easier.
There's no confusion over Krampus.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. No, but I mean, there's always that time where there's something that like somebody brings up later that generates some sort of interest or you come in. But I think most of the time, you know, it doesn't hurt you to ask, right? You don't feel any pain when somebody asks you to hold something.
So. And a lot of times people put stuff back. Now, I can't say I don't allow, but like with action figures and t-shirts and
that's
stuff, you know, If you want it, that's fine, but you're getting it, because...
Yeah.
Well, even action figures, I can kind of say okay, because you can sell them again, but like a t-shirt?
Right, but not a, like the $270 Getter robot guy that I'm stuck with, you know.
Well, is that why you didn't order the Hulkbuster armor?
The $3,000 one?
It was $10,000.
$10,000, yeah.
And then sometimes you get stuck with Philly Fanatics.
No, that wasn't Pat's fault.
That wasn't my fault. I bought the Philly Fanatics.
Yeah, that wasn't Pat's fault.
Because remember, I took the damage, because it was only the box that was damaged.
Right.
Yeah. You should just put that out.
Yeah, I know I should.
Yeah, there's got to be someone else that comes in here.
So yeah, implement using the pool for this.
Yeah, so I do give you lots of ways to do it, so yeah. Do it to avoid me selling out, because it's certainly, I do not order to sell out right away.
Really, it's for them, because, like, if you want a book, guarantee that you have a book. Like, and you have this opportunity to guarantee.
But it does help me, especially when ordering, you know, gosh, I have 10 people want this book. I should order more, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you want to have a couple for the shelf, but you can't order 50 of a book you have one pull for.
Yeah, and it's funny, because my friend who passed away down in Florida, he would always do on Twitter his order, and it would be always holds plus two, holds plus one, holds plus five. It's like, I couldn't even come close to that.
Yeah, if you did that,
you know, even Batman, I'm holds plus 50, you know.
I'm still selling out.
So, that's all. That's my editorial, so.
I do think this editorial has to be a written editorial as well.
Okay.
That gets posted to Facebook and Twitter, so people that don't listen to the podcast can actually
what?
Read it, just like your Marvel editorial.
Yeah,
well, they just miss out.
As read, or as heard on.
There are people who don't listen to the podcast?
There are lots of people who don't listen to the podcast,
wow.
Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it.
Even when you're sitting here. Yeah. So.
There are people that say Santa Claus. They're the ones that don't listen.
Well, they're going to get a surprise Christmas morning.
Dave's going to leave him a lump of coal. A lump of reindeer.
I'm going to look through that catalog.
Pat's news.
Oh, man.
Look how he jumped the
fence. Nice segue. Okay.
Just trying to get us off poop. Okay.
Why would we be on that topic?
Womp, womp.
Anyway, so a couple things happened this week. A new Jessica Jones trailer debuted.
I didn't watch it yet.
I didn't see a new one. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a new one. It had a lot more footage. It had more of her with Luke Cage, some additional footage of Kilgrave.
That's coming out soon, isn't it?
Next Friday, the 20th.
Mm-hmm. 20th,
yeah. Yeah. So. If no one else saw it, I really can't comment too much on it. Other than it looks like a much darker series.
Mm-hmm.
Have they shown the Purple Man yet? What he looks like, all purple?
Mm-hmm.
No, they've released
there was like some purple lighting or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's what they've done. Not that he himself was purple, but just the way the lighting was. The Walking Dead has finally cast Negan, and it's going to be Harry Dean Morgan, who played the comedian in Watchmen, amongst other things.
Harry or Jeffrey?
Harry.
No. Jeffrey.
Huh?
I think you're right.
Maybe it's Jeffrey. Is it? I thought it was Harry.
Harry Morgan was the commander.
In Colonel Potter.
Colonel Potter, yeah.
Maybe you're thinking of Harry Dean Stanton.
That might be it, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy that played the comedian is going to be playing Negan on The Walking Dead. And then... I guess...
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I stand corrected. So that means Glenn might still be alive, but not for long. Let's see. More casting news. So, originally this was announced as Mariah Carey was going to play Commissioner Gordon in the Lego Batman
Which
movie.
I didn't understand at all.
Because it's incorrect. She's going to play the mayor of Gotham. Now, somehow people got confused because it was announced as Commissioner Gordon. I'm like, well, in the Batman Beyond, Babs was the commissioner. So, okay, that would have made more sense. But I don't think Mariah Carey is
I don't think Mariah Carey is doing the voice for any of these characters. It's not something I would picture her.
No, doing. I actually met Mariah Carey, so I. No. I met her in 2002. She was doing a USO show in Kosovo. They flew into Macedonia. I was in charge of the Visitors Bureau, so I had to stand out there in the cold for 45 minutes waiting for her to come out of the plane. So, the one thing I would say is her bodyguard was probably the biggest human I've ever seen. I'm the one with the gun, and I was more afraid of him. There was some set photos of Doctor Strange that were released, and I found it funny because, like, just reading comments on here, people were going crazy over this. It's like, it's a dude in a beard, and he's in Tibet. So what? You know, there's no context to it. It's, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch with a beard. But,
What?
Yeah.
God.
And then there was another one that apparently had Mordo in it, too. But, you know, nothing you could tell about the plot from the photo. It was just a photo of, you know, two guys standing around. The X-Men trailer for Apocalypse is supposedly going to be attached to Star Wars.
You were surprised to hear that.
I was, too. But it sounds like between that and the Fox shows that they're coming out with, the Legion and the Hellfire, that they're willing to work together a little bit more. Because that was probably the last movie I expected to be on there. I expected Captain America to be attached to it, and, you know.
Maybe they have some deal with it. Like,
there's probably going to be like 40 trailers on that one.
Yeah, but I figured, like Finding Dory. I did too. But I figured that would be attached to it. Because that's going to be their big Disney's big movie in 2016.
Yeah.
Captain America will be on there. You know, think maybe a teaser for Rogue One would be on there, but I didn't picture Fox to have anything on that.
Yeah.
Although they also said a Deadpool trailer is supposed to drop in December, so that might be attached to it.
That'd be a weird lead in to Star Wars, a Deadpool trailer.
I think there's still some crossover audience there.
Flurry just had to leave for an injury.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it unless they do a very tame trailer. I couldn't see them putting.
Well, it would have to be the Green Band trailer anyway.
But even then, like just a very tame version. Just because there's gonna be plenty of kids in Star Wars.
Yeah.
What's the rating? Is Star Wars a PG or PG-13?
It hasn't been rated yet. My guess is PG-13.
Yeah.
Because that was the last Revenge of the Sith. I mean, I don't expect them to drop somebody in a volcano on this one, but, you never know.
Just be for violence, and I don't think Edmund's going to drop an F-bomb.
You never know with those Ewoks.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Chewie's probably dropping F-bombs constantly.
Yeah, that's all he says.
You just don't know what he...
Yeah, likely there's not subtitles for him.
There's no Wookiees in the audience. It's like, oh, we're good.
We speak Wookiee, so we know what he said.
They're like, he said what?
Wookiee's protesting outside.
Yeah. Do you think there are fans out there that have somehow deciphered the Wookiee language?
That's it.
I'm not saying that the creators assigned a language.
Are you saying that somebody created one?
I'm saying, do you think someone has gone through, found patterns, and somehow created a language?
I'm sure.
I don't think from it. No, because there's not, he doesn't have enough lines in it. I mean,
it's just that one growl.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. And you know, contextually.
Someone really seemed like investigating, like just.
I agree with you, John.
Examining this to the point where they find all the nuances in.
I just don't think, I'm less bad. I don't think there's enough.
Like, I get Klingon, get how they could have done that. Or Dothraki, I get how you can do that. But, I mean, it's... And even, like, his growls weren't a single thing. It was, like, part yak, part whale, part bear, part dog. That's probably not going to work. And the only thing contextually you could probably catch him with was at when they were all getting medals and he didn't get one at the end of Star Wars, and he was probably telling Princess Leia to go pound sand.
Yeah. But what I'm not saying that someone accurately comes up with the translation. I'm just saying someone who goes on this endeavor to try and do it, and then in their head makes up something.
I'm sure there's some guy out there that's what I'm saying, deciphered Chewbacca-ies
or Wookiee-ies. Yeah, I'm not saying that they actually were able to do it. Yeah.
He's just like, that growl meant I want a sandwich. Let's stop at Walmart, you know? No. I'm sure there's some ridiculous person out there.
But the next thing I got was A-Force is apparently delayed by 3 weeks. So now
what isn't slipping. Delayed?
What's that?
Really.
You can't schedule these things, man.
That's true. Okay. Okay. But it slipped from what was its original date, I guess, 3 weeks. So.
Well, it's like, according to schedule, we're supposed to get the final two issues of Secret Wars in the next 6 weeks.
It could happen.
I don't see it happening.
It could happen. Have faith.
Okay, yes. Gotta have faith.
Oh, it's his favorite song.
And the last thing I got was, because there's just not enough of these series yet, there's going to be another new Deadpool series.
What?
Written and drawn by...
Adam Russell.
Yep.
Think of your next favorite artist.
Is it May?
Pouches of Houlihan.
Yes.
Pretty much, yes.
Actually Patches of Houlihan from Dodgeball, but Pouches of Houlihan.
Yeah.
I like, Pouches.
but it's supposed to be a Dirty Dozen type setup with his new gang of...
Misfits.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Which, we'll get into that when I review... Deadpool number one.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Teaser.
Because I know I'm the only one here that read it.
Yeah.
What if we surprised you and all of us had read it?
We've read it.
I would be shocked.
Blow your mind.
That would blow my mind, yeah.
He's going to be like, okay, now I'm going to do this. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, we got this.
Yep.
Step back, Pat.
So.
We're all prepared. We all got segments of it.
So that's all I got, Colin.
Okay. We have two questions.
Yay,
both
questions.
Are more for me than for you guys. Let me preface the one.
We can lie.
Well, we can preface the one. Image announced a new deferred billing plan today where if you order a certain number of trades, you get billed in 90 days for them, which is a way to get people to stock up more on books. My only problem with it, for me on the thing, I have to order a minimum of 12 of 75% of their trades, which is a lot.
Now, how did they base that number?
It's based on our discount tier. Now, granted, my discount tier is a little inflated because it includes all of the stores. My regular discount tier would probably be closer to would be 5 if I was not ordering with a group, which actually would probably be sense. But for me, 12 is way too high for any trade other than really Walking Dead and Batman. But that's the thing. Basically, you just don't have to pay for 90 days. Which sounds great, but I think in the grand scheme of thing, because you have to order 75% of their line, after it gets going, it's just basically every week you're going to be getting hit for a couple... bulk trades on every invoice, so it's not, I don't see a big difference. It'll help like the first 90 days because you're going to have, you know,
that
product, but after a while, you know, I'm paying for 90 days ago now and it's going to be a cycle just going on and on. But Zach asked, he says, I read about Image's new delayed billing program, but I wonder if Image and other publishers are missing the point that for the most part, a title will sell in the first 4 to 6 days, and whatever is left over will rarely sell afterwards. And most people that didn't buy it when it came out are probably waiting for the trade if they had plans to buy that title in the first place. Well, that doesn't make sense, only in the sense that it's not on comics, it's just on trades. So, and trades do have a much longer shelf life than comics. And comics are more than the first 4 to 6 days anyway. It's probably the first month. And then, or am I wrong or I'm totally talking out of my butt? I mean, this is what I see at my local store. Whatever it's not sold the first week just sits there on some secondary shelf, and I rarely see anyone buying from it unless they somehow forgot about a title that came out recently and forgot to add it to their pull list. But that's a rare at the shop I go to. Okay. Oh, and thanks for the usual awesome show, guys. Well done.
Wow.
Thank you, Zach, for being an awesome listener.
But yeah, because it's on trades, it is a different situation. But like I said, really the only books that I order in that number are Batman and Walking Dead. I don't think I'd order 12 copies of Invincible because I know I'll sell a couple, but I doubt over the lifetime of that book will I sell 12. And especially some of the smaller ones where it was just like a little 5-issue series, or there's even some books like Oddly Normal I've actually stopped ordering for the shelf because I sold one copy of number one and that was it. And we're now on issue 12. And I haven't sold one of the last 11 issues. So I'm just ordering as a trade, but I certainly don't expect to sell 12.
You
liked
that book too, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was really cute, but that's part of the problem is cute is a tough market.
Especially for an Image book.
Yeah, I mean, it was neat. It was a neat idea and everything, but my customers aren't the people that for me to put that in their hand. It's more of like almost like a kid book, mm-hmm. but... You know, maybe I can move it to the kids section, but it's just one of those, I don't know.
Yeah, but that it's still Image, so then you got to really look at it every... Well, let me ask this question. Do you think that this might be a precursor to them making smaller print runs based on pre-orders?
No, not so much. I think what it is they're trying to get stores... Like, I mean, for a large part of it, for me, it's all order one, sell it, reorder another one. Sell it, reorder another one. And so what they're trying to do, let's say if my number was 5, it would make a lot more sense, where I can say, okay, I'll start with 5, mm-hmm. and there's less risk because I don't have to pay for them right away, and I have a chance to sell them.
Yeah.
But for me, like I said, because it's 12, that's just, across the board, that's just way too high.
So you don't think they're going to lower that so you can't do that anymore? And like I said, you know,
right.
Walking Dead, yeah, you'll
right.
order 12.
Right, but in order to qualify, you have to hit 75% of their line.
Right, no, I understand. So, like, for Walking Dead, your numbers wouldn't change anyway.
No, I'd still order.
You're not going to order 12 copies of a book because it may stop being in print.
Right, and I do it on number ones, possibly, because number ones I do order several of. But, you know, Outcast 3... I'm not going to order 12 of to be sitting on that much stock.
No, if you're only selling 4 of number 2, you'll order 4. Yeah.
So that's not one that I'm really going to pay attention. I will send them an email and ask, just because I am in a little bit of a different situation. But even so, even at 5, I don't know if I'd order 75% of the line at 5. Possibly. Because there's a lot of good stuff, but there's also a lot of stuff like the Witchblade stuff, that ilk that I know I wouldn't...
Spawn.
Right, sell that much. So, I hope that answers your question, Zach. Next one comes from James, out, I believe in Harrisburg. I'm pretty sure he's in Harrisburg. But his question is, the availability of archive editions of classic series is one of the best things about comics today. Are there any archives or masterworks that you recommend to current readers? That's kind of a tough one. Only in the sense they're not as readily available as I'd like. Especially in the traditional archive. Like, the Marvel stuff is mostly out of print. And I'm talking just paperbacks. The hardcovers, I don't even look at the Marvel Masterworks and the DC archives because they're so expensive at $50 and $60 a piece. Marvel is doing one neat thing with their Epic collections right now, which is just collecting them in storyline, not necessarily all the issues, but... storyline, but the one problem is they're not coming out in order. Because I had a guy just interested in Wolverine, and he bought the first Wolverine one, which is issues like 1 through something, I don't remember what, of, you know, the regular Wolverine series. But now I'm looking, the next one that's coming is issues 87 through 100. So will they fill in the gaps between there? Maybe, I don't know, but they come out with them in a real weird way. They're also very expensive, they're $35. Which is just an awful lot, especially for old reprint material. I think if they wanted to, they could have priced that a lot more aggressively and done better. That was one conversation we had on my Comics Pro board. Just looking at their pricing, wondering, are they pricing for us or are they pricing for Amazon? Because like these, the big omnibuses that are $125, well, Amazon sells them at $75. So is that their target to sell, you know, make a $75 book, but they mark it up for whatever reason, yes. But it makes it, you know, they're not selling for me for $125. I don't even bother. These at $35-$40 just seems a little really high, where I think at $25, I could sell a whole lot more.
Marvel quit publishing those essential
volumes, right? Yes.
That's too bad.
Yeah, those stopped. And
DC
it's,
stopped with
they didn't stop. They come out with them every once in a
right.
while,
right,
but it's frustrating because you can't reorder the older ones. So it's one of those, why would I order volume 8 if I can't get volumes 1 and 3 anymore?
Yeah.
So
that's tough, though, anyway. I mean, if you know, you had a character like Spider-Man where there was 700 issues of the original Amazing mm-hmm. Spider-Man run, that's a lot of volumes to have to go through.
Yeah. But it was fun. Like, I would have those on the shelf, but now, like, I don't know specifically, but say number volume 2's out of print. Where am I when I have 1, 3, 4, 6?
Yeah.
You know, it just, it seeing an incomplete run pushes people away. So, the funny thing also is, now, like, DC, I know, like, next week we're getting this big Golden Age omnibus of Batman stuff. So they're doing that. They've been reprinting, like, the old Titan stuff. Like the George Perez, Marv Wolfman Titans. So there are some that I am happy they're doing that with, but it is kind of funny, like the old, like listening to the Avenging Hour, how much those old books weren't very good. And I know they're hard to read. I remember there was something like with Tales of Suspense or something I grabbed to read, and it was hard to actually read the issue. Just the way the panel flow and the art and everything.
Stan forgetting who he was talking to.
But I'd really like them to keep
Rick Brown.
Classic storylines in print. I always think is good, and I wish Marvel would get back into that little thing. You know, like they're slowly coming back with the Age of Apocalypse with the movie coming out. But, you know, they need to get these big, you know, they just had a big event where they played off all these classic events, but I don't have Inferno. I don't have Extinction Agenda. I can't sell these books because they're not in print. DC is much better about that, keeping stuff
Civil
in print.
War, but you don't have any of the... Because they did the tie-in
I have those. They're over there.
Not
all, but most of them are there. But yeah, the Masterwork stuff, like it's just really cost prohibitive when there's, you know, 15 Captain America at $15 a pop. I don't have the room or the money to store all that. I don't know. What about you guys? You know, what about that classic stuff that you'd recommend?
I think what you said is part of the problem. I mean, as you go back into the 60s, some of that stuff's not very good.
Yeah.
It's
funny. There was an interesting, it was, again, on my Comics Pro board, talking about DC and their trades and just the way their whole thing is wound up. Now, I sell the DC trades great. They sell fantastic for me, but I understand the point this guy's making is, what are your best-selling trades? Superman Red Sun, All-Star Superman, Superman Man for All Seasons, Long Halloween.
Yeah.
Things that weren't in the regular
continuity.
Series.
Yeah.
And now they don't really have that. We haven't really had any out-of-continuity or non-thing like that. For the most part...
Well, they're doing several runs of that right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
But for the past 4 years, other than the main Batman thing, I haven't had a Batman side story.
Yeah,
but right now we have the Superman American Alien, and they're getting back into that, which I think is very important. You know, like Batman Hush was in the main storyline. All the Nightfall stuff, that sells well still.
Europa starts next week.
Yeah.
That starts next week.
Green Arrow Year One was one of those.
That sells well. Yeah. But it's like they need to almost break their mold a little bit to get back to that.
Yeah.
Their concern is, okay, yeah, we got this great Batman story. Volume 4 was excellent. Well, that numbering is going to kind of put people off
a
little bit.
Well, I think before, too, it was those things were more important because it was their only way to tell a story outside of years of continuity.
Right,
whereas
right.
once the relaunch, that wasn't
right.
an issue anymore, so they didn't have to tell
did
those stories outside.
Did they step
yeah.
away from that with that Grant Morrison Justice League trades? Because remember, they were all numbered, and now you got like thicker versions of them, and I don't think any of those are numbered.
Oh, I think they're still numbered.
Are
yeah.
they numbered
no.
still?
Yeah.
Because, like, a story, like, you can
they're just
read
they're making
a lot of
bigger
those,
volumes.
Yeah,
because,
like, Nightfall used to be three volumes.
Well, it's still three.
I thought
no,
it was
it's
two.
Three, but it's
yeah,
much
it's
bigger.
Three, but they added more to it. No Man's Land is the last.
Yeah.
They combined it a lot more.
But, yeah, as far as classic, it's a lot of just classic storylines, but it is kind of funny because people come in and I struggle with this. Oh, I love the Avengers movie. What's a good Avengers story?
Yeah, that's not.
I don't know. Can you guys name a classic Avengers story? Because even stuff like, you know, Kree-Skrull War is supposed to be great. I remember reading that going, what the hell is this? It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
It's wordy. That's a lot of the problem.
So that's
no,
one
the
thing.
The problem is people's remembrance of nostalgia is a lot. It's stronger than
that's
when they
true
actually
too.
Read.
Yeah,
that's
a lot to do with that.
Now there are a lot of X-Men stuff. I'd say almost anything from X-Men 94 through like 150, if they did those in order, which they have, like they did that in the Masterworks, but those have also fallen out of print. Mm-hmm. That stuff was real good.
I think that's the biggest problem with deciding what would be good for like reading classic stuff, because a lot of that stuff is not in print anymore.
Yeah.
Like you said, like I'd recommend stuff from like those Batman Chronicles, those Chronicle books that they did for a while.
Yeah.
But again, those are out of print now. But now we're getting that omnibus, that Golden Age book, which would be that's pretty good stuff still. I mean, that's not like dated in the way that it's like
oh,
the
it is.
60s.
That's stuff
I mean,
from the 30s.
I mean, it's dated in that way, but it's not like the. It's not that weird, like, Batman where everything's kind of, you know, the 66 type stuff.
Okay,
where they were
starting
to do that. It was more campy. But yeah, I mean, anything Silver Age Marvel is fairly
Silver Age, yeah.
It's not even just Silver Age, though. You know, I'm a big Punisher guy, and I love the Punisher Max series. But Colin has almost none of that on the shelf because it's all out of
there's
print.
Not a lot in Punisher and
but
print.
But there is. I mean, like, the Max stuff was really good, like Kitchen Irish, The Slavers, Valley Forge, Born.
Yeah.
Those were all
there's
really good storylines that were really good trades, but none of them were in print anymore.
Yeah. And I don't think any of the earlier stuff they have a lot of anymore.
That's an
like,
Ike problem.
No, I think
so.
I have all that. Yeah, I have all that in single issues because that was the only way I could read it.
Yeah, from my understanding, Ike doesn't like them holding inventory, so that's why a lot of the stuff goes out of print, because they blow it out.
Yeah.
So, for what that's worth. So I hope that answered your question, James.
More than that.
Dave doesn't know.
So. I didn't read a lot of the classic stuff, so for me, there's nothing. The closest to classic I get is I picked up some of the Valiant Classic Masters.
Okay.
Ooh,
classic
recently.
Stuff from the 90s.
I was wanted to
was
buy something
age.
From the
clone
the booth
saga from Spider-Man
at the show.
Classic.
Yeah. It was the only thing.
No, that was good. That was
the only things I didn't have.
Yeah,
so.
No.
Yeah.
Supporting.
Well, for Valiant, I mean, that is classic for them because that's when they, you know, were doing stuff. When did they stop that run? When did they just.
They
stop
well,
they
were, Acclaim bought
yeah,
them.
Yeah, Acclaim, and then it was
like in '95.
So then Acclaim was publishing Acclaim Comics,
the video game company.
Yeah, they were publishing Acclaim Comics, starring heroes of the Valiant Universe or something. Like
that's
that.
When Ennis was doing Shadow Man, wasn't it?
A lot of big people, like Mark Waid, was on Exo Manowar.
Yeah,
like they had a lot of big names on these Acclaim Valiant
Mark
books.
Waid made me mad.
How'd he make you mad?
Not. I don't want to say mad. My problem...
Is he your neighbor across the street?
He is not, no. No, that's F-tard McNuggets.
F-tard
McNuggets. You told
me to He censored that.
No. I was reading the all-new, all-different Avengers, and there's one thing that totally pulls me out of those books, and same thing happened with Karnak and stuff, is when they're deliberately making reference to the Marvel movie universe instead of the Marvel universe. Like, Karnak, the main character in Karnak was Phil Coulson.
Okay.
The main bad guy in All New, All Different Avengers is a Chitauri. And I'm just like...
Species that didn't even exist.
Right, it pulls me out of the book and makes me go, you're pandering, and just... It totally pulled me out of the book, and I didn't care.
But the other thing is...
They're like, he was in Nova 31. I'm like, I don't care.
But if the Chitauri were some big villain, I'd be okay with it. or if they pose like a real threat. But they weren't. They were the stormtroopers of the Avengers. They were cannon fodder. Yeah.
They were the whole idea of the Chitauri. They brought them in from the movie because of the movie. Right. That's mainly why they used them in Guardians of the Galaxy when they first brought them into that. But before that, they used them for the Ultimate Universe. They were the Ultimate Skrulls.
Right. No.
Other than that, like, you're right.
Yeah. It just totally pulled me out of the book.
But it's mainly movie. That's where they're getting from.
It just made me also think, you couldn't come up with one villain in all the history of the Avengers.
Hmm.
You know, you couldn't have used Tuma or... Well, they needed, like, a big fighter guy. I'm just like, a Chitauri. And it just... Mm-hmm. I feel bad, but it totally pulled me out. And then the back half of it was a... the first meeting between Kid Nova and Ms. Marvel. And how do they say hi to one another? And, oh my gosh, he saw me in my jacket. And it was just... I'm just like...
Sorry. We're not the market for Marvel anymore, I don't think.
Almost, yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Young people... I mean, they get a lot of buzz, because the young people, you know, are on the Twitter and the Instagram and all that.
The Instagrams.
But I don't know if it's actually going to translate to...
Didn't you just get onto the Instagrams?
I did just get onto the Instagram. I don't use it, but I'm on it. But I'm old.
You're young at heart, though.
Somebody who came... I am.
His heart grew
to be honest
sizes.
With you, after this reunion thing and seeing sizes. Some of my classmates who have fully accepted being 48, and they look... 48, and it was like, okay, well, at least in my head, I don't feel that old. I don't feel like, you know, I'm basically a grandfather already type of thing. But I had some people...
Well, yeah, but if you are, somebody has some explaining so, to yeah, you.
I had some...
you never had customers, like, come in and guess you were older than that.
No, that's where I'm getting to. There was somebody had been in... Like, they were trying to pitch me on something, and then they were kind of following up. But in their following up, they also included their notes of the store and meeting me and stuff. Which was good, but it was like... but it also said late 50s, and I was just like,
ooh... Why would they include that?
Well, no, that was just in their whole assessment
of
the thing. But I'm just sitting here going, I need to come up and do something so that I don't project late 50s. I don't know what it is to do other than...
Wear parachute pants.
Take this off.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Take this off. I don't know, but it was just...
don't get rid of that.
It was just,
You know what you can do? Wear that, Spider-Man button-down shirt, bowling shirt.
Okay.
More often.
And the wig.
Sunglasses.
That thing made you look young and hip.
And the wig?
Okay. You're pushing the wig on me right now.
He loved that wig.
I haven't said anything about this wig.
He was touching it.
I'd shake my head and I could feel it moving. I'm like, I haven't felt that in a long time.
Colin said, you mean the wig, 4 times just now. And when he put the wig on before, he texted me pictures.
You don't need our permission to wear a wig.
He puts on the wig and becomes... Well, I told him, I said... Remember a while back, we were on the podcast, we were talking about, like, a Colin from, like, the 80s or something who had, like, a wig and an afro. And then he's wearing it that day. And I was like, that's what he looked like.
We talked about that when the Shaft book came out.
That's right.
Right now, the mannequin's wearing the wig.
Doesn't have a head.
Doesn't matter.
Just wearing on the neck.
On the neck.
Wop, wop. So what were you talking about before all this?
I don't remember. Should I rewind?
Yeah.
Start over.
No.
Talking about Valiant and then books.
Oh, we were talking about, Masterworks and stuff. But I think, we're done. That's the podcast. I've had enough of you.
See you next week. Bye. Click.
Out before 9. Wow.
Sweet.
Good.
Well, that's because Rich isn't here, gabbing away.
Who wants to go
last
first?
Week's books? Who wants to go?
I'll go.
Look at all I have.
I didn't read that much anyway.
I have 10?
Wow.
10?
Good job.
You guys mock me.
Well, when did we'll
mock
that
you always mock me.
Yeah, we'll mock you anyway.
Oh, we were trying to talk about how to make Colin look younger. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Seeing you have a nice watch is not mocking.
That's true. So I read James Bond number one.
Hey, I read that too.
I read that.
I didn't.
Oh, it's like Duck, Duck, Goose.
No weebies, no weebies, no weebies.
Now you have to run around and tap.
You got the big
I liked it.
It wasn't great, but it's set up a lot.
Yes.
And I can see where it can go. I feel that way about the book, the Superman
Alien, American Alien.
American Alien.
Now, what
first one wasn't great, but.
I like how it had a cold opening in it, just like a James Bond movie.
The cold opening was the best part, I thought.
I like the Money Penny scene; that was fun.
Yeah,
she's always sitting there going at her gun.
But I like how it. You know, it's they didn't make it Daniel Craig.
Yeah, I liked how they used a generic, like, they made their own image of what James Bond would look like.
Well, that's what they drew was essentially the James Bond from the novels.
Yeah, I think,
much more nondescript.
I love how it was, like, this office setting throughout basically the entire book, where he's just, like, they're sitting in the cafeteria eating, and just the whole thing, his personality reading it.
James Bond, The Office.
Yeah, pretty much. Just his personality, too, was written so well.
Yeah.
Like, just, it felt like, this is James Bond. Mm-hmm. It was just really well done.
No. But I agree that it sets up a lot for the future. The other thing I like about, and I actually heard this on another podcast, there was nothing to give away what time period it was. It could have been in the 60s. It could have been today.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was pretty cool about the whole thing. You know, you don't have to rely on cell phones or computers or anything, but that doesn't mean that they're not there.
Now, I didn't get... Maybe I'm missing something, but I didn't get the reasoning behind this hard rule of them not... of the double agents not being able to carry guns in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, guns aren't prevalent in the UK anyway. I don't think their cops carry guns.
Oh, okay.
They made it... It was something... But she said it was almost a temporary thing, is what she was saying in the book. That they weren't for some reason because of something happening right at that point.
That just seemed odd to me.
Kind of did with me,
too. I don't know enough.
Well, but I also think, you know, these are... These are not the kind of guys that really listen to rules to begin with.
Yeah. I like how they got around it. They were getting around the rules a little bit, which made sense, too. I thought they did a really good job.
It was
with
good.
The book.
Yeah,
they did.
I agree.
Like, I wasn't sure. I was thinking maybe, you know, James Bond is a comic book. I didn't really see it as working as well. But for that first issue, it got me.
Yeah.
It helped me.
Yeah,
so.
It did.
I think it's worth picking up.
Yeah. Next one I read was We Stand on Guard, number 5.
I read that.
What'd you think?
This series has been...
Hit and miss.
Like, I read it too.
The visuals are great. The story's interesting. But I just don't give a crap about any of these characters.
Yeah.
Which is really weird for Brian K. Vaughan book. Yeah. Because he's normally so big into characterization.
Well,
and he does none in this.
Well, in the first issue, it starts off...
True.
In such a way to make you really feel for the girl.
Yeah, that first scene, the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's it.
Right, well, no, even like, as it went through the book and you found out that the older girl, Amber, was the little girl at the beginning, okay, you see how, or, you know, you read how she split off from her brother and you think, okay, this is what this is going to be about. She's a sympathetic character. She was a little kid. Her parents got killed. Something must have happened and split her up with her only family left. I can live with this. But after that point, you don't care. They've killed off characters that had been in, like, 3 panels.
Like there's no impact to them killing people off. Like, when someone gets killed off, I couldn't care less because I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
Like, the one guy, they teased this last issue that he was this famous... like entertainer or whatever in Canada.
That was
but
the French
point,
guy.
Up to that point, he hasn't spoken a word of English, which, I mean, that's fine, but I'm not going to have someone, you know, tell me what he's saying, so I don't care about this character at all.
No, and that's, I mean, he's speaking French, and that's...
Which makes sense for the book.
Yeah, no,
I have no complaints about that. But
A lot of it, though, you can figure out
in issue 5,
what he's doing.
In issue 5 of 6, you're giving me a little bit of this character's backstory, but it's a character who, up until this point, I haven't known a word he was saying and don't care about him at all.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of like a Chewbacca, where he's speaking some...
But I feel like Chewie conveyed what he was doing without talking more than this guy does.
Kind of. I mean, I never... yes, it was annoying that he only spoke in French and nothing was translated, but I never had a problem understanding, because like there was always context clues you could figure out.
I suppose, but not. It was just surprising to me that this is the character that they decided to have this big reveal regarding in issue 5 and say he is our number one target. And I'm like, why? What, this? I mean, I get the inherent thing, but this character, up to this point, there's been nothing to connect us to this character.
Well,
or any of the characters.
The other thing is, it's only a 6-issue mini. And the events at the end of the book should have been at the end of 4 or at the very beginning of 5. Because I don't know that in one issue he's going to be able to tie this up.
He claims that it will be definitively tied up at the end, but
I feel like
things to possibly lead to, you know, revisiting in the future.
Yeah, and I can see that. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that. I think it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But, and you know, from the very beginning I thought it was an interesting concept, the U.S. at war with Canada.
Yeah, I feel like throughout 5 issues, the only scene that has gotten like some sort of, you know, response from me as I'm reading it, like
it's the first one,
not even the first one, the scene whenever the girl is being like mind effed.
Oh yeah.
And suddenly when they have her dad show up and then you realize what he's there for, and that I was like, whoa, that's
some messed up stuff.
Yeah. And that was more so just because it was so messed up that, but otherwise,
because I haven't been too invested in the characters, I just find myself wanting to find out about the more macro view of this.
Yeah.
And how exactly the United States took over Canada, what they're doing to control it.
They're not the
people who are in charge, but
they're not though. That was made pretty clear, I think, in this last issue. They're not controlling Canada. Yeah. They're going in with these vacuum trucks essentially and stealing their water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they're doing.
Yeah. I was poised to drop this book after issue 3 before Colin pointed out that it was a mini series, and I might as well hang in there for the back
the
three.
Other three.
Which, looking back, I feel like I was bamboozled because I could have just bought the trade for the same cost as the 3 issues, but
he was
good job, playing. Shopkeep. You got
You're
me that day.
Run amok.
That's our role.
Bamboozles all the time.
The next one. Deadpool number 1.
What?
I have a one-word response to this.
It was awesome.
Does it start with
No, it was UGH.
That kind of started with
UGH. It was awesome.
No, it really wasn't.
UGSome.
So
I thought that's where it was going.
A few weeks ago, I dropped Harley Quinn because she got her gang of Harleys, and it just, to me...
So now you got a gang of Deadpools.
That's exactly what
happened. Is it Kid Pool and Lady Deadpool?
That was Deadpool Corps. No, but, like, Madcap is one
of
them.
So, there was Lady Deadpool, but now they have Gwenpool. How are they different?
Because Lady Deadpool was Wade Wilson from another dimension.
In drag?
No, she's... in that dimension, instead of... Yeah, that's what it is, Wanda Wilson.
So what's different than what's Gwenpool?
Gwen Stacy, but she becomes Deadpool, I guess. I don't know.
From a Deadpool dimension?
I don't think anybody knows.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody cares.
It's the hottest character out there.
Because it was on a cover.
She's a teenager, Colin.
Yeah. According to Marvel, the most in-demand character ever.
Anyway. So
I have plenty available of her first appearance in Howard the Duck number 1. Plenty. Come out and get it.
Or it's incredibly rare. Come and get it quick.
Yes.
Before they're gone.
How are so many different characters the most demanding character ever?
I did enjoy...
because they are.
About Lee Field coming back to Marvel, I posted on
the most demanding creator ever.
I posted on... I shared it on the Facebook page, and the title was, Because You, capital U, Demanded It. And I had somebody respond back. Is that a threat?
Yeah.
Because someone out ankle pouches.
Yep.
Well, it was just threatening us.
I don't even know what to make of this book. It's a Deadpool book, but I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
cornhole. My brother-in-law referred to his son one day as Cornholio after they'd been over. And Sandy looked at me just blank, going, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you don't know what he's talking about. So I played her, you know.
So you did it. You put your
I pulled it up. I pulled it up on the iPad and played her the whole episode. And she just looked at me and says, "Well, I understand a little better, but that's stupid. And you're stupid." I'm like, okay.
You should have divorced her on the spot.
She was like, why did I marry you? Yeah. And you're just like.
I agree. I used to laugh so hard I would cry watching that.
Are you threatening me? So, yeah, boys, girls, you know, difference.
Dark Side War Flash.
Are you threatening me?
I read that.
It was okay.
Yeah, okay is a good word.
I felt when it was just circular. By the time you got back to the end, you hadn't really gotten anywhere. No.
The only thing, I did like the end, though, where Death was just kind of untethered.
I like the art.
Yeah. I didn't like the stuff where he was racing Death.
Yeah, we've seen that with him in the Black Racer. Yeah. Or the Black Flash, Dark Flash, whatever they called it.
Saw last night when he raised Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are too many evil speedsters.
Yeah.
Like, get another gimmick. Come on now.
Well, yeah,
They're from other worlds, though.
But, you know, his other villains really are gimmicky. You know, Captain Cold,
I like a good Captain Cold story.
Don't get me wrong, but
so does Adam.
Well, yeah,
Captain Cold's pretty cool.
And then there was Dark Side War Superman.
I like that better.
That was better.
Yeah, I guess it was better.
I just thought he was in the dick.
Yeah,
Flash.
Well,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I get he was corrupted, really, but like. Like, he was really a dick.
I like it. It gave me like flashbacks to Superman 3 after he had the tainted kryptonite, and he was just sitting in the bar, like flicking the nuts at the bottles in the mirror, and just being a dick. Dick Superman is kind of fun.
Yeah. Because
Dick Superman. Wow, we're saying Dick a whole lot.
You are. You're
he
the
said
only
like
one.
Five times before I even said it once.
Yeah, but you made up for it.
Okay, fine. Superman.
It's Richard Superman.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We're getting a Morse code.
Oh, yes.
Morse code question.
Pat needs to go.
That's Morse code.
There's a mission.
But, like, Jerk Superman doesn't there do anything that there bad. He just generally jerky, like, about stupid things. Yeah. Like, give me some pie.
Yeah.
Give me pie. That's what evil Superman wants.
I have all these powers, and I'm evil, but I just want pie now.
Okay.
Well, and then, like, his interaction with Jimmy, is like, yeah, you're the only one that sees me for me, but leave me alone because all I want is pie. Mm-hmm. And he throws him out the window. And,
he really wanted pie.
Well, yeah, I get that, but...
I can understand. When you want pie, you want pie.
And if people get in your way, he's
right about the way. Is he a bigger jerk than Harrison Wells from Earth 2?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, but that's, I mean
he threw
that's
somebody
really
out
not
for pie.
Oh, okay. I mean, Harrison Wells is just kind of, you know, he's a Richard.
Harrison Wells from Earth 2 is, like, pretentious.
And he's doing his Batman voice. But he's not throwing people through windows or anything. And, like, just letting the whole city get taken over by some black molasses type, whatever it was.
That was weird.
Alien goo.
Yeah, alien goo or whatever it was.
That's a technical name.
Yeah.
What's with Superman and all the black goo and shadow stuff he has
to fight? I thought the same thing. I don't really know where that's coming from.
I'm assuming that's what he's doing in the main Superman book.
I'm going to say that's what he's doing in the movie. You know? He's going to fight black goo.
Okay. Could be.
You know?
Speaking of the movie, I meant to say this last week.
And goo.
Do any of you guys listen to the Nerdist podcast?
No,
for a while. I did.
They had David Goyer on a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm generally not a big fan of David Goyer, just from some interviews, but this is actually a pretty good episode of the podcast. And they talked about Man of Steel a little bit, and there were issues I had with Man of Steel that when hearing him explain them kind of alleviated the issues I had, especially like even the whole Killing Zod thing. And his explanation of why they felt they had to do it—it just—it changed my mind on a lot of things.
I don't think he was given a choice,
and he wasn't. And I wasn't up in arms about it like some people were, but I was still in the camp. Like, I'm fine with him doing it, but I don't think he had to do it. but he really made a convincing argument that he had no other choice.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't see, because I mean, and I know we're way off topic, yeah. but Zod was not. I mean, he was going to fry a whole family. He didn't care.
Well,
he knocked down half a city.
To me, it was he could have stopped him from doing that, from frying the family. But like David Goyer said,
I don't see how he could have.
David Goyer said, even if he did stop him, what would they have done with him afterwards?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have a way to put him in the Phantom Zone. Superman just became Superman like a week beforehand. They have nothing to contain him. And this guy has said that he will not stop until this entire planet is raised.
Yeah, that was the, they didn't that was have the kryptonite whole thing. At that yeah. point.
I think we've talked about, you might have not been here, but when that movie came out,
wait,
but
kryptonite wouldn't
it.
Work on Zod anyway.
Why?
Because if you're, the way they set it up in the movie, Superman was reacting to the atmosphere on Krypton itself. Zod was already used to that, so a piece of kryptonite, which was essentially a piece of the planet Krypton, would not have had, in the
well,
context of
I
the
thought
movie,
the radiation unless,
yeah, kryptonite could have a different effect than just the atmosphere.
Than the atmosphere, well, yeah.
Potentially, but it was,
except
it was,
kryptonite is going to be a part of the new movie. I think they've already said that.
It will, but again, Superman has not grown up on Krypton. He hasn't been around that. He's not used to it. And again, I'm just talking about, in the context of the way they talked about it
yeah,
in the original movie,
the way they,
I think kryptonite would not have an effect on
Zod. In the
on
movie,
Zod.
I took it as when he was on the ship that he was being affected by the atmosphere and his ability to breathe, things like that.
Yeah.
It was affected. Not,
no, because remember when the world engine was going off? It hadn't changed the atmosphere yet, but he was still being affected by it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I never linked the two of that with kryptonite.
But I agree with what you were saying though, about the whole that whole scene, and that's what a lot of everybody else was kind of talking about too. Is that what were they gonna do with him? And it's not like he enjoyed it. He wasn't sitting there. He's like, ha ha, snap!
No, he like
you know
broke down.
Where I always go back to Superman too when he like knocks one of them into the hole or whatever, mm-hmm. and he smiles None. Afterwards. I was just like. He just loved doing that. He just killed them. They're dead. Like
oh no, he no. That was it. Was Zod.
Yeah, it was Zod.
Because Nan jumped and,
yep.
fell. And then
she took Lois Lane took care of what's her name
Ursula.
Yeah,
but and, everyone knows he had a bounce inflatable bounce house at the bottom there. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, who doesn't have one? It, Fortress of Solitude has to have one.
Hey, if he has cellophane S's that can wrap you up, I'm sure he has bounce houses.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get us off topic.
But
you
still,
said,
no,
you mentioned
yeah,
the movie.
I
yeah,
agree with
it. It reminded
that
me about that.
Thing. I think it's a stupid argument. I really do. All
right. Anyway, Doctor Strange number 2.
We can get to that one yet.
I
didn't go back to number 2.
I read it.
I thought it was okay. It got a little goofy, though. It was kind of like a comic book version of Pee-wee's Playhouse, where every room you went into, something wacky had to happen. You know, if you open a door, something weird. And I get, okay, it's Doctor Strange. But it was almost over the top. Like, it wasn't serious in any context.
That's what I liked about it, though. I've been liking the book, and I think it's a lot of fun. I didn't mind that.
But it's a lot of fun, but it wasn't what I expected. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because Aaron's writing it. I expected yeah. something a little more serious. Yeah. And it just wasn't.
Yeah, the issue is basically a tour of the Sanctorum, and
yeah.
as he's trying to help this librarian who comes to him for help.
Yeah. Now, but there was some at the very end, the last two pages, there was some more movement on the plot where
yeah.
the Sorcerer Supreme from another dimension quickly shows up and then gets it looks like pulled back and
yeah.
you know these. I guess they're purifiers or whatever they are. They want to get rid of magic.
Yeah, the Empiricu.
Yeah. They pull him back in through whatever door he came through,
yeah.
and I guess, you know, they're going to get rid of him. And they basically say, you know, we're here to rid the world, or, you know, the universe, or
yeah,
the multiverse of magic. Not that it's a bad book. It just wasn't what I mm-hmm. kind of expected. But, you know, it wasn't bad. Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah,
this was not my favorite issue.
No. Not my favorite issue, because it was almost very filler-like.
Yeah, that's what it felt
like. And I get where they were going with it, but it just seemed kind of out of nowhere. It was weird.
Yeah, it was filler-like. The story didn't make a whole lot of, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, it felt like things were happening for the sake of happening.
Yeah, it was. It was basically him investigating this, investigating if who might be created. I guess by who might have been planted by Mother. That's what they're kind of looking for. They think one of the Robins. Or, do they think all of them or one of them on the list?
Well, that's what they said, is they don't know.
Yeah.
So he wanted to investigate the one, which he's assumed Tim, because Tim...
Tim's the only one that makes sense. It wouldn't be Jason Todd.
Because of how secretive Tim is.
Well, Jason Todd got killed at one point.
Yeah.
So, well, and I mean, did he? I guess they continued Batman continuity that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it wouldn't be Jason... unlikely it would be Barbara, because she grew up with her father. It could have been Harper, but they're trying to kill Harper.
Yeah.
So really, it does leave Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And then spoiler, Jess showed up. Or so
she was on the list anyways.
Yeah.
And the art was awful.
Yeah, like the art was not very, yeah.
I give DC credit for staying on track all the time with their books. Especially the weeklies. But their tactic of using several artists on a book, it sucks.
Like,
if their art styles are similar.
If their art styles are similar, or if the book has like some sort of flashbacks where it makes sense to have different style art.
Yeah.
But when you have like a handful of artists, and I can't remember who was on it, you know, maybe there's someone that I like that just had a bad week, but the art, when you have a handful of artists that all turn in something that looks terrible, and then it's not consistently terrible, that's even worse. Yeah. Like, if it's going to look like crap, at least look like crap, the same kind of crap from start to finish.
I mean, it worked, though, on Batman on Batman Eternal, because you had essentially 5 different storylines on, and you could use completely different artists on the different storylines.
I don't mean like one artist on issue 4, different artist on issue 5. I'm talking about like throughout the single issue, you have five different artists.
Yeah, on page 1 it was one guy, on page 3 it was someone else.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah, well that is a problem, and you know, my opinion only works one of two ways. If their art styles are similar and you can't really tell it apart, or if you're truly telling different aspects of the story.
Yeah. But that wasn't the case either.
No, that wasn't. Yeah. That wasn't. So
I haven't liked the change to Tim Drake since they made that change. And it just, his whole background doesn't make much sense to me, that his parents are just like, whatever, be a superhero. It just, I liked it better with what they set up in Infinite Crisis, where he was, where his father was murdered, and that Bruce adopted him. And it just worked better, I think. But in this, it's just like, why is he a Robin exactly? Like, he doesn't, besides figuring out Robin, why would they, there's no tragedy behind him. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Just, he has these parents, and then the whole setup of the house and it changing, and he has all this technology and smarts. I'm just like, they take, like...
Well, that's just it. Okay.
His character's not that interesting.
But that's the thing. When Bruce... If Bruce did it... Okay, well, Bruce is a billionaire. I get it. I get where he gets the cash flow for all this.
Yeah.
How did Tim Drake get all this?
Exactly.
Was this part of the you're the new Robin package? Here's, you know, some technology to protect your parents.
And really, this is why I don't like Scott Lobdell. I mean, it really goes down to that, because he just... for absolutely no reason. There's those people that took the New 52 and they were able to adapt it, mm-hmm. make it work. And then there's other people that are like, change whatever for whatever reason. And it's just like, if there's no point to it, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think they changed his character so much that when I saw this, that I had this, and he was invested, you know, Dick Grayson's investigating it because he wants to look more into it. It's just like, well, that's not the Tim Drake I know.
Well,
like, so it didn't seem like the right type of story.
The more I read this, the more I want Damian to come back and have it be Dick Grayson as Batman and Damian as Robin, and just forget all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's what happens at the end of Robin War.
It's just, yeah.
See, I don't mind the Batman thing. But...
Well, the Bat Gordon thing is kind of eh.
It's going. It's last thing probably more.
It's just kind of, it's okay. It's not, like, it's not bad.
Like, in Batman, the main Batman book, I think it's great. in...
I'm kind of with you Batman, on your idea of it, so because there's certain people that can write it and it works. Like, and I'll talk about
and
Detective.
I mean, to their credit, I'm sure was an idea that Scott Snyder had. So, yeah, he's going to write it very well because it's his idea, and everyone else is just kind of forced to go along with it. So, I mean, I get it.
But they're really not, because if there's no continuity,
yeah, that's
you don't
true.
Have to, you know, you don't necessarily have that continuity.
They say there's no continuity,
that
but,
no
they've,
continuity
but they've kept,
kind
of
slap yeah,
but they've
face,
kept continuity with most of the books, except for, like, the main book of Justice League, which is off on its
own. JLA. But, see, my problem with it is, to me, it makes no sense. Gordon was a cop. He's in his 50s. He's not going to be able to do what Bruce does.
That's why he's in a robot suit.
I get it, but it's just, like, no, he's not Batman. He can't
and
be Batman.
And that's the point. He has these, he falters throughout the whole process. He makes all these mistakes that Bruce wouldn't have made, and that...
I get that, but to me, it just...
I mean, I'm fine with not having an exact replacement. I love Dick Grayson's Batman. I thought that was great, but... I like this too. This is something different and a unique take on things. And he shouldn't be just like Bruce. And he's not portrayed just like Bruce. He's portrayed with all of his faults to the point where their powers was about to get
fire
rid of him.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's kind of where I'm just like, I get that he's Jim Gordon. I get that, you know, that's why he got picked. But that's exactly why he shouldn't have been picked. I would have been okay with replacing him had it been a nobody. But
they wanted something with experience, someone that had close working relationship with Batman, and Jim Gordon, at the time, was unemployed because he wasn't the commissioner, and he wasn't a cop because he was framed for that.
I think they wanted to give it to somebody that would be more interested. They've already given it to Dick Grayson, so who's your next step? Alfred?
The other thing is, especially when they started, you couldn't give it to Dick Grayson because he was doing the spiral
thing. But if you gave it to any of the other Robins, it would have been like, why are we doing this again?
Well, the only one...
This was the only way to do something new.
Yeah.
Something fresh.
It was enough to have...
I understand coming from you. Like, you want what you enjoy.
Yeah.
And I get that. But...
Because
that doesn't sell
even
books.
In the Justice League, he's not Batman. He's Bat-God. And I like that aspect of it. I mean, I'm a fan of what they're doing in Darkseid War with Batman. But, yeah, I want a Batman book back. I want to read Batman. It doesn't have to be Bruce Wayne. It can be Dick Grayson. I was okay with that. But I want my Batman book back.
I guess I would rather the writers tell new takes on things rather than just maintain the status quo, even if it's what you know we're more comfortable with and want. I want to see if Scott Snyder's gonna be on the book. I want Scott Snyder to tell me the story that he wants to tell, and if I don't like it, I won't buy it. But
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I want him to tell the story he wants to tell, and it's not that I'm not enjoying Batman. I am, but I don't see an end to this. And then with what they're doing, to me, it's like...
Well, you know it's going to be done by 50, so...
I'm
by
feeling... 50? Whenever Capullo's done, that's whenever Bruce will step
See, I figured
in.
52. Well, I figured that's when status quo would come back.
I think Capullo's something is going to be... 51, I don't think we'll be... which I was surprised on. I don't think we'll be disappointed how it's resolved.
No, I don't either. Scott Snyder has not let us down
yet. I think what he's trying to do also is that you have Bruce... We're trying to also... He's trying to tell this thing going on with Bruce as well. And Bruce can't be Batman because he didn't know he was Batman. And he's wanting to tell that story, but you kind of want to have a Batman in the book. So yeah. I think they're trying to replace it with something interesting. And the fact that, I don't know, that it kind of works that it would be Gordon. Because, first of all, it would be new, like you said. And second, it would be he'd have some sort of training. Not only as a detective,
Marine.
But he has military
training. No, I didn't know that.
I think, but I get what you're saying, like, completely. Like, some of it, I think we're getting it too much, like, that we're seeing, like, in Detective and Batman, Superman.
Well,
and we're seeing all different
versions of it.
When I read it in Batman, I love it.
That makes it feel more out of place and makes it feel like it's dragging on longer because in Detective and in Batman, Superman, you're seeing this portrayal.
Yeah.
And not done nearly as well.
I agree.
So that's completely. What makes it kind of like...
So yeah, I totally get where you're coming from.
At least with Zero Year was taking place on its own outside of everything else.
Yeah.
So even though Scott Snyder was telling his own take on things, it wasn't impacting anything else.
Yeah. Even where Superman is right now. Like, right now I'm just like, I'm kind of tired of it.
Real tired of it.
I'm at a point where he's, and we might have talked about this already, but he goes out and battles this threat that you're just like, this is a pretty big threat that he's going up. And we're like, well, he's depowered, so he might not actually make it. But then he does okay. And it's just like, how is he depowered?
Yeah,
he's
I not can't believe I'm going to say this, but Superman, I almost feel like that's one that should still have, like, crossovers, because each one telling its own separate version of him battling some powered threat without having powers and trying to find his way through, it just doesn't make sense to me that he is doing all these different things.
Yeah, he can't be everywhere at once when he has no powers.
Yeah, so either he's
that's
ever
another
once,
one that's gone on too long.
Yeah.
Because I had people that were getting all the crossover parts.
It's not too long. It's been an arc.
It just feels so long because of all the crossovers.
June, July, August, September.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's all been since
it's
Convergence.
Not that long.
I think because it's going through every book.
It feels long because it's going through so many books. Yeah. But it time-wise, it really hasn't been that long.
Yeah. So, some of these changes,
and it was not done well in all these books.
We're wanting to see different.
Yeah. The only one that I'm really liking, and this flows into the next book I read, was Green Lantern. I like what they're doing with Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was... It was.
They didn't like really fundamentally change who his character is.
No, he's not part of the core now.
Gone rogue.
Took the gauntlet and
but he's always been kind of like a rogue personality. So it's
well, but the core doesn't really exist at this point anyway. Did you read this?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's sent his the two companions in the ship, the sentient ship. Off on vacation, and he takes Black Hand to go to the Source Wall, where he runs into Relic. And I like the interaction with Relic, where, you know, initially, you know, it kind of sets up for a fight, and Jordan kind of disarms the whole thing, like, yeah, we could fight or we could fix this problem. And they find out that pieces of the Source Wall want to go back to the Source Wall, and since Black Hand is infected with the Source Wall, they get him to run into the Source Wall, and then he gets absorbed into it. And in a real Bugs Bunny moment, you know, when Relic goes to turn around to start back with Jordan, Jordan's already gone. So it's been pretty good.
It's been good. I've liked it. I felt like the ending was a bit quick.
It was rushed, yeah.
Considering how, you know, much they built up the story.
Yeah.
Remember, the whole, like, things turning into Source Wall was teased before Convergence. Before he met with the Guardians.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if this does... And I don't know, because I don't know when it was written... But if it was written after they announced the cancellation of Lost Army, it may be that they had to change the way they wanted to end this story, knowing that the Corps has to come back, because there's going to be a Green Lantern Corps book.
Well, yeah, but Lost Army is canceled, but then they're doing another six-issue thing, which they've said picks up right where Lost Army leaves off. So I feel like Lost Army is going away because of something with Colin Bunn in DC. Because Colin Bunn is, one by one, leaving all these DC books.
Although I don't remember what book it is, but he just picked up another book.
Not
the
DC.
The Deadpool book.
Yeah.
The Deadpool book is being written by Colin Bunn.
He's picking up a bunch of Marvel stuff, and on his AMA, they asked him if he has anything new DC coming out, and he said nothing new DC for the time being. So I feel like they're parting ways.
He said he's leaving Aquaman because of fan
reaction.
I don't think it had nothing.
Aquaman, Lobo,
right? But it had nothing
Lost
to do
Army.
With. Well, Lobo was never going to.
This is DC we're talking about. Somebody left them. We'd hear about.
There's three books
just how
that he's all at once.
Yeah,
going on. I feel like there's some bad taste there.
And there may be, but that was a lot for him. He's still writing Sinestro.
For now, he said. They asked him about Sinestro. He said, "For now, he's still on it."
Okay,
but his words were "for now."
Okay. And the last one that I read was Uncanny X-Men 600. it had a couple decent moments in it. The stuff where young Iceman comes out of the closet to his older self, and the older self basically is like, yeah, I'm gay too, I just never said anything. There was some interesting stuff with that. The story was told really weird, where it starts off essentially as an intervention for Hank, and then it keeps flashing back to things that have happened like 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago. But the weird thing is you're seeing characters in two places at once. So it didn't make a whole lot of sense how they did it. And it ended on a cliffhanger. They had a the time traveler girl, and I forget her name.
Ava Bell.
Yeah, Ava Bell. At the end, was talking to Hank and said, you know, I've been to the future, and, you know, you go on trial. And Hank seemed to think that it was the intervention that they just staged. And she kind of said, well, you either learned something from this or you didn't, and walks away. And Beast goes off. And I don't like the way it ended, because it didn't give any resolution to anything.
Well, I'm sure they'll follow up with that in the next book.
I'm sure they will.
Like, they'll explain what Nick Fury said to Thor.
Yeah. That, what I really don't get about that, and this is nitpicking on something that happened 8 months ago, but if he did something so bad to make
it wasn't
him,
8 months ago, it was a year and 8 months ago.
Okay. However long ago it was.
Yes, three events ago.
Well, if he said something to Thor and that suddenly made him unworthy, wouldn't it have been when he committed whatever the act was? So he should.
We don't know what it was, though.
But that's,
you know what he said?
You're saying
Gene
that the
Foster's
should have been, shouldn't have been when they were told, but when he did the event.
Yes.
Because they're gods and they should just know.
Yeah.
He whispered, Jane Foster's your sister.
Oh, is that it?
Oh. No, because Angela's his sister.
Oh, he did that too.
Just stay on. I mean, I don't think Angela would.
She's
go
from
for
another that. Dimension.
But oh, Angela wouldn't go for that.
No.
So, anyway, that's all I read.
I'll go next.
Okay.
Since you just mentioned Uncanny X-Men.
Angela, you read Angela?
Oh.
No.
Guardian of Hell or whatever. Keeper of Hell.
Queen of Hell.
Queen of Hell.
Extraordinary X-Men, number one.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I have a big problem with this book. Art-wise, I thought it looked fine. Writing's fine. Not a damn thing has changed in
this
story.
Yes, it is. They can't live there anymore.
Nothing has changed from how the X-Men universe was back when I was reading the X-Men books when right after Battle of the Atom.
The Terrigen Mists.
But nothing has changed from before Secret Wars. There's still
Terrigen Mists.
Wasn't that before Secret Wars?
Terrigen Mists. That's the all you need to know. Old Man Logan.
Okay, that changed. Old Man Logan's there. But Terrigen Mists were from before the Secret Wars. So nothing has changed from before Secret Wars except for Old Man Logan being in the picture. It
somehow.
Starts,
I guess you had to read that miniseries to understand why, but okay, it doesn't make sense.
So you have Storm, who is in charge of the school, but it may not actually be the school they had. They were calling it something else, the Haven.
And we don't even know where it is, since it can't be on Earth.
The X-Men are being killed. Are they dying from the Terrigen Mist and being sterilized?
Or hunted or... Yeah, oh no, they were all sterilized by the Terrigen Mist.
But I thought it was also...
So no more mutants. They can't have any... Didn't we already do this? Endangered species? Yeah. Where they were trying to figure out why they couldn't...
Yeah, but that was because Wanda went crazy. That had nothing to do with the Terrigen Mist.
And then on top of that...
And that's when she was a mutant anyway.
Professor X is still dead. Scott still killed him. No one trusts the mutants.
But
we
don't know what happened to Scott. Something happened with him at the end of Secret Wars.
No one trusts him because of what Scott did.
He was on a variant cover of this week's Secret Wars, but he wasn't in the book.
Bop, bop, bop.
That's the secret.
You sound very bitter.
No, but
he loves a good.
Why
Scott
would
Summer
you put him? You put him on the variant cover. You assume he's something important happened with him in the book. He's not in it whatsoever.
They mention him a lot.
Well, which version of him?
The version that killed Professor X.
So well, the older version, because the younger version's still
there. I love how they put that.
No, but there were clone Cyclopses in the Siege book.
Wouldn't there be Cyclops? There were Cycli.
No, it's the one that killed Professor X in.
Is that the one Doom killed in Secret Wars 4?
I don't know.
Or is that a different one? That's what I'm saying.
I love the beginning of the Secret Wars books, they have those three wasted pages of absolutely nothing that's like summary, and then they show you like this character timeline.
Yeah.
He's on it, crossed off. It's never different for like three issues of this book. And it's just like, why are they wasting so much time on this thing?
Issue, he's not going to be crossed off.
And then who cares who's in it? Like, they're always the same people.
He killed the real Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He has his own book now.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think they fed us a whole bunch of hooey.
He didn't kill Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doom did.
Yeah, Doom did.
Killed Doctor Strange.
I think you're saying Scott's.
No, but I'm saying Doctor Doom or the real Doctor Strange died in Secret Wars. Yet he's back. We don't know how.
Was it Strange who killed Scott Doctor Strange?
Right, but how is
Scott
he back?
Summers?
What's that?
Scott Summers died.
He was killed by Strange, right?
No, Doctor Doom.
Doom killed him too. Mm-hmm. Doom's just on Warpath.
Because he went after Doom with the
Phoenix power,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Doom
was just like, that's
just snapped his fingers and he was done. That's why I don't understand where in this issue everybody's fighting Doom.
Well, but remember,
it's like, if he could just go like that and they're all gone.
We bitched about this in the last issue, too, though, where there was a prop with Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight, and it was supposed to be some battle that took place, but it all took place off-panel, so you didn't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not the first time they've done that, this event.
Oh, God.
This event has no impact on anything. This event exists solely...
No, the Marvel Universe ended. It was right there at the end of issue one.
This event exists solely to get characters
Marvel
into the main universe that they went in there.
1963 to 2015.
The only purpose of this event is to get Miles Morales into the main universe.
No.
To get Old Man Logan in the main universe.
It was to bring a bunch of characters that they wanted to save and then eliminate the Ultimate
Because
universe.
The storylines that you're telling, at least what I've read so far...
During the...
They could have just thrown in a portal.
Well, no. During the Spider-Man event...
Yeah.
What about Spider-Men?
Well, no, they could have had Scuba Steve just destroy the Ultimate Universe.
Forgot about him.
And then, you know, Miles is now stuck in 616.
The storylines are still 616 history and storylines with just some added new characters in there. And the characters who encounter these new characters are like, what are you doing here? How did you get here? That's what it was whenever they encountered Old Man
Logan. I was having a pizza, another pizza fell on it, and somehow I got here.
Reading Web Warriors number one that came out, it has them visiting all these different Earths. I'm like, you guys don't even play by your own rules. How did all these Earths go back when you said they were destroyed before Secret Wars?
Yeah.
How did all that get undone?
Remember incursions?
But if all that got undone, then it's meaningless.
The other Infinity Gauntlet.
That whole Avengers run was just meaningless.
The Infinity Gauntlet is the only way. That's the only way they solve this problem.
But then it's just an automatic reset.
Yes.
So it means everything can just be reset at any time. It's just lame.
Because you demanded it.
No, I thought this was going to be big, dramatic. I thought this was going to be their new 52 moment. And instead, they planned it that way and chickened out. Because I thought that was the end of AVX as well, where they could reset everything. The Phoenix Force come through and reset everything. And then they're like, no, we don't want to do this.
They said from the beginning that this wasn't a reboot. That this was just, you know, combining things together.
But... they didn't even do that. The pizzas didn't smash because nobody's missing.
No, what happened was they set one pizza down on the table that was perfectly fine.
And added two pieces onto it.
And they grabbed a couple toppings from a different pizza and put it on there. And
because
then
Tom
the other
wouldn't
pizza
want to smash a pizza. You don't want to waste a pizza.
I just want one piece with bacon on it. So
yeah, it's like, oh, someone put anchovies on my bacon pizza. Take the bacon and put it on the good pizza and throw the anchovy pizza.
But by having all these books like the Extraordinary X-Men, is completely negating any effect, you know, like I've had customers drop Secret Wars because what's the point of reading the next couple issues? I know it doesn't matter. Nothing in here could... Now, I can enjoy it for the story's sake.
But if you're not enjoying the story...
As far as this having long-lasting impact on the Marvel Universe, no, it has nothing.
I mean, when's the last time they did an event, though, that actually had some impact on the Marvel Universe?
Civil War did for a while. But House of M did for a while.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion did for a while, you know, where you had the Dark Reign after that. So there were things that had impact. This one, clearly, because we're already past it in the regular Marvel Universe.
The only thing with AVX that's really stuck is Xavier's dad.
Well, and that led to bring the young X-Men and Cyclops' and Magneto's powers haven't worked and things.
Right, but that's just bringing new characters in.
Right,
that's...
but yeah, this one, since they've already shown that afterwards it means nothing, it's just, eh. It's just, I feel bad for Hickman. His whole time is kind of going out on a big...
Yeah.
That's going to be their new tagline. All new Marvel, eh.
Arrow, eh.
But, well, I mean, I'm loving this all new, all different. Like, we got all new, all different Hawkeye number one this week that I just put over the previous all new Hawkeye.
And no one could tell the difference?
And, well, it's got the same writer and same artist and same story. So what's all new, all different?
It's taking place in the future.
Or, it's not all different. I'm sorry. This is just all new. What, 1 month in the future?
It's old man Hawkeye now.
Is it?
Yes.
Because I saw it was Hawkeye, Kate, and Pizza Dog.
In the future.
Oh.
8 months in the future.
That's Pizza Dog, too.
Oh, okay.
Well, they can't go too far in the future with Pizza Dog. I mean, he's a dog. He'll be dead.
That's why I said Pizza Dog, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Like Snowball, too?
Doesn't that look
like
exactly...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It does. I don't get it. Well, there's going to be another one, see, Hawkeye versus Hawkeye.
Well, that's just because it's those two. Yeah.
Him versus Kate.
I gave up on that book.
They're just not making me want
to,
you know...
Every time I try to pick it up again, they reboot it, or they restart it again with the number one. So
I picked up because I like Jeff Lemire, which is the same reason why I picked up Extraordinary X-Men, but I'm not going to buy number two next week.
I'm just getting tired of the...
Next week, yeah.
And that's the other problem.
I just... even if... taking the Secret War stuff out of the equation... I still wouldn't want to read this because it's the exact same story that's been going on for years with Bendis.
Yep.
It's a tired story. Yeah. Tell something new. Yeah, we get it. Okay, Cyclops freaked out, killed Professor X. Everyone hates the mutants because they're scared of him. And humans are supplanting the mutants to Terra Gemis, killing whatever. Tell something different. Be creative.
Yeah, that's
same thing
lacking.
Over and over
they're
and
not
over
going,
again.
And like we were saying before, I don't think that's the direction they're going into now. Yeah. I think they're going in a direction that they're trying to bring in younger readers somehow. I think that's why we're getting books like, you know, not only Squirrel Girl and stuff like that that can bring in these teenage girls.
Well, Squirrel Girl's fine because that's a niche that's not filled.
Yeah.
But people want their old X-Men, X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue. They want
I think they're trying X-Men to do it with everything right now. I'm thinking they're like, oh, we can bring in these kid readers. And that's what they've been trying to do for years is bring in younger readers and comics.
So let's bring in a 60-year-old Wolverine.
So they do that. And then not only that, like Web Warriors. Why are we getting a title of a book based on a cartoon that's on Disney?
Because it was awesome.
Chitauri.
That's not a
because it had Peter Porker in it.
It doesn't make
an
sense.
An Indian Spider-Man, because everybody loves Indian Spider-Man.
I forgot about him, too.
He's spicy.
And it had Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve. It's his theme song.
It did. Okay.
All right.
But yeah, I was not enthralled with that one. When at the end, the shocking reveal of they come across Old Man Logan. Well, he's on the cover. You know, it's not exactly a shocking reveal. Mm.
That's not exactly a shocking reveal.
The book
reveal.
Started with him.
I mean, Storm didn't see the cover.
True. But I love how she was talking to the ghost of Professor X, but they released that image and everybody said, oh, Professor X is back. And it's like, no.
Yeah, Bleeding Cool is all...
Not yet.
All over that.
Ava Bell's already talked to him, though, so he'll be back.
They had the perfect opportunity to bring him back with Secret Wars.
And maybe they do. Maybe there has to be at least...
Oh, but don't forget, it's got young Jean Grey, who they keep talking about her future and how important she is and all this stuff. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
the all-new, all-different Dark Phoenix saga.
From Vertigo, Unfollow, number one. So that was weird.
It was weird, and it was another case where... Now, sadly, in that one, I knew the premise. But I don't think the premise was well laid out in the book itself. It started off really weird.
It just jumped didn't
make
around.
Any, well, the beginning didn't make any sense.
Too much.
And still didn't make sense after you read the book. With the guy in the mask shooting this guy off a cliff, and then he shows up later without the mask, and you just didn't explain why he was shooting that guy.
Because I think the guy he was shooting worked for the company and put himself on that 140 list. So
and I thought it was
supposed
to be 140 random people, but it seems like it's selecting people that are in very specific moments.
I think the people who are on the list are meant to believe it's random.
Okay.
Whereas the company has selected them for different reasons.
Okay.
But they killed the
premise,
first guy because
the premise
he
is there's this
the
there's this young internet mogul is dying of cancer or some other disease.
Yeah.
And he's decided to give his fortune to 140 random people.
Because his company is essentially Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. And so their lives are changed immediately because they're going to make so much money. But then you have this guy in a mask shooting people, which I didn't understand. And then, because the premise was that basically it's divided amongst them whoever's still alive.
At the time of his death.
So, you know, if you kill some of them, you get more money.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really explained in the book itself.
No,
it was kind of setting up some of the main characters. One being this, like, Islamic reporter, and this other, like, gangbanger, or...
Yeah, like, the reporter was about to kill herself, and then suddenly the app showed up on her phone, and it started talking to her, and it was just...
Weird.
It could be interesting, it just wasn't a very solid first issue.
No.
But, I mean, it wasn't bad by any means.
Mm-mm.
Paper Girls 2?
I didn't get to that.
You guys read that?
I read Paper Girls, yeah.
Okay. So, this book took a weird turn with the second issue. I mean, the first issue ended with they encountered these humanoid alien-looking things, or like burn victim kind of looking guys. With one... Like, the one little, you know, tease in that one of the guys, like, dropped a, looked like a miniature Apple device. Almost looked like an Apple TV device.
Yeah.
And then this issue starts off with no one else is around in the neighborhood. It's just the girls.
No one around. I think it's everyone's been evacuated. Everyone's been evacuated, or they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So they come across one kid who is... Like, they think dressed up for Halloween, but he's just standing there.
Yeah. He's standing in the middle of the street, and he has, like, a wolfman mask on or something.
But then he just disappears whenever they see this vortex open up above them, and all these pterodactyls come out.
Yeah. It's alien pterodactyls or something.
Yeah, it's almost setting up, like, there's some sort of time-traveling aspect to this. Which I guess makes sense. The alien guys were like collecting things, so maybe they're collecting things from different time periods. And then the only person that they actually encountered and were able to talk to was the one girl, Max's stepmom, who was saying that Max's dad, her husband, just disappeared from right next to where they were lying in bed. And when it happened, he vanished, and that the only people left behind are the sinners. So they're almost, you know, taking it like a
the rapture.
Rapture kind of thing. It was a weird twist. I wasn't expecting it to go in this direction. It was definitely good. I mean, it's an interesting story. I just have no idea what to expect.
I don't even want to hazard a guess as to what's going on, because I honestly have no idea how everything is going to fit together. And we have the big cliffhanger at the end with the gun. With the gun going off, she's the mother,
stepmother was gonna shoot herself because she didn't see any point in them living any longer with all the good people taken and just the sinners left behind.
But the rapport of the girls, it just feels like the quintessential 80s movie today, since it 80s movie to me, since it's taking place in the 80s.
And I love, like, there's little, like, Easter eggs, you know, thrown in there. They don't make it like in your face
80s. Yeah, I agree.
But they put like enough little things in there to definitely make the tone and the feel of it correct.
So. Yeah, he's going for a little bit more subtle 80s references mm-hmm. than if you were just to say some other things like MTV or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been good.
None of you guys are reading Black Science still, right?
No.
So this starts off a brand new arc, and actually takes place 3 years after where the previous arc left off. So when things left off previously, Grant was stranded off on his own in one dimension while his family and the rest of the Dimensionauts were, you know, separated. This picks up where he's wearing like this mask disguise, and he's being followed by this, you know, some creature that just keeps asking questions like what, why, how. Like, it's almost seems like the creature that's following him doesn't have any sort of, you know, actual mind or thoughts. It's just, you know, almost like autonomous, and he doesn't seem to know who he is or where he came from. Grant, his memories seem to be gone until he gets to his house, and then this automated message starts playing, filling him in on what has happened up to this point and what he is currently working on. It almost, if you ever saw the movie Memento, when the guy has no short-term memory, so he has to keep getting himself tattooed with things he needs to remember. It played off a lot like that. So he's trying to, once he gets back up to speed, he remembers that he's trying to find a way to find his family and find his, you know, companions. But there's something about where he's at that's eating his memories, essentially, which is causing his short-term amnesia. But then you find out there's something more to where he's at. He's not really on a different, even though it looks like a different planet or a different dimension, he may not be on a different planet or dimension, that he's somewhere where it's almost like his thoughts come to become reality. So it flashes back to whenever he was a kid, and he catches his mom having an affair with some guy, and she makes up this story about how if he tells her secret to his dad, that this monster will come out and do something to him. And so he thinks about that, and then this monster becomes real in this dimension he's at, and then someone from his past shows up to save him. And it just is really different direction for the book from where it was at before, and it kind of cool. It definitely, if you thought you knew where the book was going or thought it was getting too formulaic, it definitely, you know, switches in a completely all new direction with this brand new arc. So it accomplishes keeping the book fresh. And as always, Matteo Scalera's art is phenomenal in the book. So I really enjoyed it. And then last one I mentioned, any of you guys read Detective Comics?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't like it really much at all. They definitely went for more of a detective feel, this one. Yeah. But the whole thing with...
It was an interesting short...
The whole thing with him being with the Justice League doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I didn't like it as a Detective Comics story. It didn't work as that.
The fact that... The way that Justice League grabbed him in the previous issue,
yeah. And
why they grabbed him didn't make sense. Like, why would Justice League suddenly say, oh, we need a detective to figure out why these gigantic skeletal remains... are here,
yeah.
Especially when you have like the Flash who is forensics.
He's a forensic scientist. Yeah, I questioned that myself. Justice League story, as like a one-shot Justice League story, it was kind of different. I mean, but as a Detective Comics, it really, not from what we've been reading, where we've gotten a good Bullock story and a good
It felt like Tomasi was trying to have his cake and eat it too. Like, he wanted to tell a bigger Justice League story,
but
also still want to have the detective feel to it, and it just didn't feel right to me.
It wasn't a horrible story. Like, it wasn't a bad story. It just...
No.
It felt kind of out of place.
It felt out of place. And the story itself, it wrapped up kind of conveniently where... So what happens is they find this gigantic alien skeletal remains in, like, this Arctic region.
Yeah.
And it looks like it was murdered. So they're trying to figure out what happened to it. And throughout the course of Jim Gordon investigating it, they figure out that these aliens somehow ended up on Earth, and the one was injured, the father. So the mother who was pregnant with child
killed him so he wouldn't have to suffer, but then ate him to survive. And then she found her way to this cave and gave birth. And they find a living one of these aliens who's been killing these mountain climbers. And they figure out that that was the baby that was born and then survived by feeding on the mother.
Yeah.
But he was dying, so he ended up dying like right after the Justice League. Like, if the Justice League were a half hour late getting there,
yeah,
he would have been dead by the time they got there.
Yeah, that was a little odd.
So there was like this whole big fight.
But I didn't get the eyeball thing, like the liquid from the eye. And then why was there a waterfall?
Like the mother's breast milk essentially was the same sort of fluid that's within your eyeball.
Within the human eye, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just didn't understand because they found a waterfall
that was going upside down.
Yeah, and I was like, where is that? Why is and there a waterfall of eye goo?
And they said somehow that was attracting people to him to feed off. Again, it didn't make sense to me.
That threw me off.
I think the part that I had the biggest issue with was whenever at the end, the Justice League's like, oh, there's another threat of the hero. We're going to go. And Jim Gordon's like, all right, I'll stay with him until he's, you know, until he dies. Because I guess I skipped one thing. They, when they finally figure out what's going on and that he's the baby and he's staying in this cave because he is still like attached to the mom, even the mom's now just a skeleton.
Yeah.
They use Cyborg to essentially put a hologram atop the skeleton like you would to, you know, reconstruct remains as part of a, you know, forensic thing. So once the child sees this, he's then thankful to them for, you know, giving him back his mom, and he's, you know, attached to it and calms down and stops trying to attack them. So the Justice League goes off to do something else while Jim Gordon stays with this, you know, giant baby alien while he's dying, and then sings him a lullaby as he's, you know, passing. Yeah. It's just odd. And
it was a little odd. That's a better, best way to explain it.
And I know a lot of people like the art, and it's a good artist, Marcelo Takara.
Yeah, I don't mind the art,
but I didn't like the art at all.
Yeah,
I really didn't care for it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I guess it's one of those things. It depends on the person.
Yeah,
like if you like it or you don't. Yeah, it was better as like a one and done, like an extra type book that you get or something like a backstory. Like what did they used to, remember they used to put those in Batman and
just stuff. Backup feature.
Backups. Yeah. That like would have been like better. Not as a main detective story. Yeah, how they did that. But not as a main detective story.
Yeah, it felt like he was trying so hard.
I mean, it was a decent idea of a story. I get where he was going with it. Like I get, you know, He had this thing, you know, he had to go solve the case for some reason. That was a problem with me, because it was just like, why? Why did they really need him? And you did, you know, and like you said, and Flash, they made a point of saying it in the book, that Flash is like, well, I'm a forensic scientist. It's like, why is he needed? I mean, you should have the knowledge of solving this better than even and he quickly. Would. Yeah, and quicker. So it was just like, You weren't really needed here. And then the whole thing with the aliens and, you know, them dying, and they weren't really meaning to cause harm. They just were trying to survive. And yeah, it was a good story, but it wasn't like what we've been getting out of Detective.
It just wasn't well executed. No. And I don't mind. Look,
at least they didn't have to go back to 1987 to get whales.
I like that movie, Pat.
I like that movie, too, but...
Return of the Jedi. Shut up, Colin. Tomasi's not a bad writer, and he did Batman well with Batman and Robin, and he did Green Lantern Corps well.
Place. I think it was just.
But I just two issues into his detective run, and I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan of the Justice League's interaction with Bruce and Alfred in the previous issue, and I just wasn't a fan of this, and I don't know if I'll stick with it after
Alfred's
Robin War.
Just been a big problem recently. Where is that his character Robin is so
yeah, detective.
Odd.
Yeah,
his character's just been odd in like so many things.
Yeah.
No, I mean it was okay. I'm not gonna say it was bad because I don't think it was bad. It just was
no, but there's nothing weird. Standout about it.
Yeah, that's pretty well lit.
Like it's just it's an okay book. There's no reason to go out of your way to get it.
It's going to be really odd in trade that somebody picks up a detective trade and there's just two Bishu story in it that's like about an alien baby. That's about it. Who eats Aigu.
What else, Josh?
That's it for me.
Dave?
First issue of Claws. Number one.
Klaus.
We're not getting into that again.
Or
you run our side.
You may pronounce it Klaus, but you can pronounce it how you like, because I'm not going to tell anybody how to live their lives.
I'm going to pronounce it Peppermint.
No, that's just...
But how was the first issue of Peppermint? With a K.
It smelled like Peppermint. Okay. This, of course, this is the secret origin of Santa Claus.
No way.
Which deals with peyote.
As written by Grant Morrison, so...
I wouldn't know you were sold out. I couldn't get a copy.
Okay. This store.
Well, if you had pre-ordered it...
But we'll just call him Santa. Santa, and Santa arrives in this Bavarian town. We'll
have
town.
Some on local comic shop there.
Santa arrives in this Bavarian town of Grimsvig, which looks like Sombertown from... Santa Claus is coming to town, as Pat mentioned. Burgermeister, Meisterburger. Before you expect him to show up,
he will, right?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So did they tell your origin? Heat miser.
Well, it's the first of six issues. So, but
well, you should. So far, Dave, how accurate is
this to your story?
It's very accurate because he's a troublemaker. He gets involved with the local. With the local constables in Grimsvig.
Like you did.
Yeah, this is very, very similar.
I know. It's like, it's Grant Morrison. He's.
It's like he's following you around.
He's following me around in my mind.
He can't do that.
It's all like. No, it's Grant Morrison, so, not Alan Moore.
You'd be surprised what Grant Morrison can do.
So I guess
they're Sith. Moore's the master. Morrison's the apprentice.
The ruler of this town is Lord Magnus, and he has this really spoiled kid who gets all the toys, and none of the other kids have toys, and the Lord Magnus is making everybody...
They even took a rock from a kid because it could be used as a toy.
Charlie Brown?
I got a rock.
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
He can't even keep his rock.
Is he married in this? Is there a Mrs. Claus?
Not yet.
And does she say, eat, Papa, eat?
Oh, boy.
So, of course, Santa says the kid should have toys. Then he goes back, as Colin alluded to, he has a psychedelic experience.
Of course, this is the Grant Morrison book.
Because it's a Grant Morrison book.
Listen to Inagata DeVita and...
So he's on his way to becoming Santa. And the thing I liked, I thought it was very appropriate for all ages. I don't think there's too much objectionable in it. He could have went real dark with this, but he doesn't. I mean, at the beginning, Santa has a couple drinks.
I don't think the real story of him is really that dark anyway. Yeah, so I think he's trying to keep to the actual story if he's doing that. Otherwise, you know, he's going... to a different direction than we thought.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's one aspect I appreciated about the book. And I thought the art was nice, too.
The art was very good.
Dan Mora did the art. I'm not familiar with him.
Mice up in a clock trying to fix it.
So if you want a copy of Claus or Klaus, be sure to tell Colin.
Hey, you gotta come on.
Or second printouts, right? Mm-hmm. We got that.
Come on down on local comic shop day, which is. which is.
29th. No, it's Small Business Saturday. So, whatever. I'm not.
The 20.
I don't remember the number of day top after.
It's a big event for you.
2 days after.
It's the 28th. Yeah. Yeah.
Or 29th. Right after Black Friday.
Disappointed?
I'm sorry. I don't plan that far ahead. Today's, the 11th? So that's way too far ahead. I got a signing before that.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah, Rob Liefeld.
You talked about it.
No. Rob Liefeld's coming to sign.
Rob Liefeld is coming. No.
Pouches of Hulu.
You haven't signed before that? You haven't mentioned it at all up to this point.
I know.
You got to promote these things.
Vito Delasante from Action Lab is signing Stray.
Not Rob Liefeld.
Not Rob. No.
We lie. That would be ridiculous.
What's next, Dave?
What's next is here. Star Wars number 11.
Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
Star Wars. No.
Don't
So what did Kirk do in this issue?
So in this issue...
Yes, I read it.
It's when they formed the Golden Throats.
This issue is kind of...
You know.
Bringing the whole gang together on the smuggler's Kirk planet where Luke is being held by Gracchus the Hutt.
Gracchus the
Hutt.
He's got spider legs and crazy biceps.
Legs and he could, like, walk around and
he's
everything.
Doc Loveless?
I thought Gracchus was a Gorn.
Did you just make that, like, even your own? You're only going after yourself now.
But I make them obscure, so you're not
like,
sure.
Shut up,
you're not sure if I'm making the joke.
Well, I did. I cut Gorn, and I was focusing on him, and I was like, wait, a Gorn?
He may be a Gorn who went to the buffet. You just got Dave.
I don't know.
But.
Oh!
So, in the last issue, we have Chewbacca and 3PO going after Luke. And then. Then we have a little bit. They explain about Han Solo's marriage.
A little bit. But how many issues has that been going on?
Too many.
It's just like anymore. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care about
the
relationship between these two characters.
Yeah. Han explains that when Leia's
talking, it happened.
To him,
it doesn't matter.
It was all a ruse to get back at some.
She was 18.
To set up this wedding so they can
he is a scoundrel.
As a cover.
Hey.
That is our word.
I'm nerf herder.
They set up the wedding as a cover to get back at this other smuggler who was doing something or other against Han, but...
It just... The Luke Skywalker stuff is better. Like, he's going off, he's trying to find a Jedi Temple, he's trying to find information, he's not very good at it, and it makes sense that he's not very good at it, because he's on his own.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any real training.
Yeah. There's the fight between Chewbacca and Dengar, the bounty hunter, who you may remember from Empire Strikes
Back. That's the one with the scarf around his face? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I like the end with finally
what was that though? Like what is it? It's a rancor, but is it like a cybernetic rancor?
Yeah, and how about the name? The name is that's not what I was talking about that I liked.
Oh,
I just liked when Han and Leia showed up at the end to save Chewie.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's Kongo the Disemboweler.
Yeah. And then they mentioned something I thought was odd, like that. He would,
disembowel?
He's the last of his kind or something like that. They mentioned something weird. Okay.
How many robot rancors do you think there are?
Well, that's true. He's a robot one. But, like, that's what happens when a droid meets a rancor, you know? Yeah, right?
Ooh la la.
Yeah. you need more?
How do you follow up on that?
Well, you've seen how R2-D2 does that crazy.
Was it a rancor?
R2 does not compute.
Sure. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was a rancor.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I wasn't totally sure.
Was there a bald fat guy with no shirt on?
No.
Okay, it wasn't a rancor.
The thing about it is, I'll have to look at the issue again to make sure, but the thing about it is, this goes back to how Jason Aaron is writing it as a fan fiction, because he's just looking at it as like, a Hutt captures him. And then he has a big monster that Luke has to fight. Didn't I see this in a movie already? Like,
I wasn't as...
Well, is that like standard issue when you're a Hutt, you get a rancor?
I guess. I think.
I thought it was okay.
That's like a Sweet 16 present?
Yeah.
I don't think it was as objectionable as the earlier issues of the series.
My superstar was Sweet 16.
I think it's the book has gotten better. Still not my favorite though. Out of any of them. It just I like the Luke Skywalker stuff going on because we can follow Luke and we don't know. Luke could have went anywhere on his once he got the X-Wing. He'd go wherever he wants. You know, he got his license. He's everywhere now. But
we just know he has to end up on Hoth at some point.
Yeah, so as long as he gets there at some point, we're all good. You know? Right. But they can work with that. But the stuff with Han and Leia, and it's just like, I don't care. Just the drama.
Yeah, that's
like,
kind of weak.
In the movie, it's okay, but it's not like they're just focusing on it for how many issues now? Or how many in a movie, how many minutes? Or, you know, how long in the movie are they focusing on it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but Han,
this
I mean,
book needs some work.
Romance doesn't work with that because it was played perfectly in Empire. I love you. I know.
Yeah.
That's what Han Solo should be like. Yeah. It shouldn't be anything else.
And I feel like they're playing it up too much that they're like a thing now because this took place, this book takes place after A New Hope. So they weren't really that much of a thing until a little bit later.
No, right. Well, no, he made the mention of the one thing that happened on Ord Mandel, which is actually from the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's the cartoon.
Only Marvel would go back to that to make
I don't
a book.
Think it was
that was actually canon. That's the weird thing.
They're still keeping that as canon.
That
I don't think it was until Empire. You know, when he's ready to, when Han's ready to leave Hoth, and you could tell Leia doesn't want him to go.
Yeah,
but she doesn't want to say anything.
Yeah, well, that's right, I guess. Him. But it needs the move. Where Darth Vader, everything is just, it's been good. Like, and being that it's not necessarily a Darth Vader book, they were able to create an original character
the stuff
to
in that
follow,
book's been
and
really
people
fresh.
Are still interested in it.
Yeah.
They did good. I think that's like a success for that book.
Yeah, what they should have done was created another character.
Yeah.
Since they're telling what happens in between the movies, they didn't even kill the character off at the end of the series.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kind of...
They could have done a lot with this book.
Yeah, it was
they just
kind of there, but in the shadows.
Yeah, and I don't think they thought this book out too well. I think they, you know, were like, let's just make it into a fan fiction.
Yeah.
You have free reign now, because we don't have to follow all continuity, so make whatever happen. They did. It's not bad right now. It's just not great.
It's better than when it started, but it's still not great. And last one I'll mention is a new number one from Image, Citizen Jack, number one.
Come on.
Anybody read that,
I
Citizen
read that.
Jack?
Are you sure?
You don't sound certain. No, I read it. I remember reading it.
You're
about
it.
A great guy. He's an upstanding citizen.
He's not drunk.
No, he's never drunk. He does not wear just a pink robe. He was never impeached.
Yeah, he's an ex Minnesota mayor. He's a snowblower salesman, and he's kind of being manipulated by this demon, Marlon Spike.
He's trying to convince him to run for president,
right?
Because he's got nothing. He goes to his dad. His dad basically disowns him.
Yeah,
doesn't want anything to do with him. He's
trying,
just a huge embarrassment. His ex-wife is now mayor.
Yeah, and he made a deal with her, you know, not to have the roads plowed.
So giving him like an hour or two so that he could sell more snowblowers.
Right. So he announces his presidential run, and he jumps into this frozen lake.
As he comes up, he announces that, what, you don't know Jack or something, makes some big comment, lifts his arms up, his pants fall down. So it goes viral.
It goes viral, and he gets on TV, and he's a dumbass of the day. on this TV television news show, and which one of the hosts is a dolphin.
Yeah.
Has a dolphin head, and he has the most common sense of anybody in the
world. That makes sense. You got a dolphin head.
Yeah. But that, I guess it's just supposed to be weird, because that's not explained at all why the one dude is a dolphin. So, it's political satire. It's weird to, I find myself comparing the book The Prez.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it quite reaches those standards, which are pretty high.
Right. It's also just the first issue.
But
it looks like it's going to show how to basically become president through manipulation.
Yeah, but
how to become president?
But it was good. And yeah, it was definitely very R-rated.
Yes. It was
good. I bet there's another one I read that you read, so keep going.
That's it.
There had to have been one more. It's an Archie book.
Oh, yes, Hangman. I'm going to leave that for you to talk
about. You know
what?
I felt it was a little incomplete.
Yeah.
It felt very short. It starts off with, like, this hitman, family man, and he goes to take out somebody who has made somebody mad, and this guy gives this story of, oh, the hangman will get you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't even remember what happened. It's like the hangman, like, died at the end of it or transferred into somebody else. I honestly don't remember. It didn't leave a big impact. It was very short. It's like the last half of the book was all ads for other stuff.
The biggest thing that made an impact on him was the beginning when he, when the hitman's kid's stuffed animal is in the trunk of his car and he opens it up.
Right.
And his victim is in there while the little girl, while his daughter.
Right. You think it's blood on this little stuffed animal, but it turns out it's jelly. Yeah, and then you find out why he has strawberry jelly.
Yeah.
Is because he puts it on a guy and then leaves him for the rats.
Oh, I was thinking.
No, so that's why he had the strawberry. So, he's a really bad man, but yeah, and then it was playing up this hangman angle.
Yeah.
And it was just then really weird. Like, the hangman came after him, but. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it wasn't real strong.
It wasn't as strong as some of the other Dark Circle books.
Yeah, maybe it'll get better. Sorry, no.
Sold.
I'm tired. No, it just wasn't that great. It wasn't super.
You got to work on your sales pitch, Colin.
No. But luckily, I sold out. So I guessed right on the number. Okay.
I think that's it for me now.
Okay. I had two others. One was the Vision number one.
I just read that.
Which was a very weird book.
Good. Or just
it's hard to say, because in the Avengers Zero issue, you had Vision renouncing his humanity to Scarlet Witch and accepting the fact that he is just a robot. So I wondered how this was going to play, because the cover of it has, a family. There's a family of four. So
yeah,
it's like
robots.
Right, but it's like, so you're renouncing your humanity, but then being a family, as opposed to just being an Avenger or whatever. So there's no Avenger in it. It's just the story but it's almost like it could have just been called Robot, because it's the story of...
Leave it to Vision?
Well, his two kids, like Vi and Viz, and going to school, but then having to be not too smart so that the kids look down on him, trying to fit in, and there's all this, and the wife is feeling inadequate because she doesn't match up with the other wives in the neighborhood, she can't cook, yada yada. And
they don't eat. They're robots.
Right. Like, somebody brings them cookies and they just throw them away. It's like a housewarming gift and they just throw them away. He goes off to do Avengers missions, and then comes back. It was just very, very weird. And like I said, otherwise it was pretty generic robot book, other than at the very end. Oh, I didn't even notice the house number, 616.
616,
At the end, brother of the Vision, or brother of Wonder Man, the guy with the big sickle hand, I forget his name. He's always in the Vision and Scarlet Witch books.
Oh, why is
Grim Reaper?
Grim Reaper.
Yeah, Grim Reaper.
Shows up to attack them and, like, stabs one of them through the chest, and then the wife kills him. And she's like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna, explain this to Vision when he gets home.
That's why
really
the second
weird
cover they showed of it had her sweeping him under the rug.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just
a corpse underneath.
Yeah,
it
was just really odd. Different, but it's one of those, I don't see this hitting issue 25. It looks very much like a miniseries.
I will say, I like the art.
The art was very good.
The art's really nice.
Everything about it was
good. I love how they drew, like, texture to his, like, he's wearing, like, a sweater.
But it was just very odd. It was an odd book.
And he's working for the White House, is what this preview was saying. That he's like the Avengers, like, ambassador.
Liaison of the White House or something.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just very.
Does continuity matter that much anymore to Marvel?
Right, I don't know.
Are they just trying to tell a story? But they're not as vocal as DC was about that.
And it could be. It could just be, telling a neat story.
Yeah. But they, if they don't tell you that, then nobody assumes that it's continuity.
And then the other one I read was a book called Monstrous. It actually took me a little while to read, only because this was a huge book. It was a $4.99 book, but my gosh, you got your money's worth. That thing was huge. And it, a neat book. Art was absolutely beautiful. It was Marjorie Liu and I forget the name of the artist, but very, really, really well done. And it starts off, it's a little awkward because it's this, like, girl, but not a girl.
Sana Takeda?
Yeah, there you go, Sana Takeda. And she, like, she's naked, but there's nothing showing, you know, like, there's nothing there. She also has one, like, stump arm, and she's got a brand in her chest.
Man.
And so she gets bought by this, or not bought, but almost claimed by this woman who is like a nun in this convent, but they definitely don't dress like nuns. And apparently, like, her thing is to basically cut, it's these arcane creatures, and then these witches, basically, are the two main groups. And apparently there was a big war between the two, and I guess the witches won. So she takes these arcane ones, and then she, like, likes to dissect them and do things with them. Shows this one little Cyclops boy, and then next time you see him, he's been decapitated and she's doing something with his head. There's another one where she's taking the heart out, another one they still have the body opened up. But as it goes along, it's a mission by this girl from the very beginning, who's missing the part of her arm, to get something. She has this goal. And so she makes it through all these levels, and it's just weird that nobody recognized her when she apparently was a big thing, and her mom was a big thing at the war. But yeah, just, and she goes in, she's just laying waste to a lot of the witches and to get this thing. But it was just neat, and it was nice because with this big issue, they were able to, they did a slow burn. It would just let the story play out instead of in 22 issues, they would have had to make a couple hooks. Where in this one they had the full, I want to say it's 60 pages. It's huge.
How much was it?
$4.99. Yeah, so a dollar more than your Marvel 20-page book. But it really was, it was, it's called Monstress, but, you know, but not Monstrous, you know, R-O-U-S, it's R-E-S-S. But it was really, really very interesting, and I want to see where this is going. Because she, like, rescues this one little fox girl who kind of wouldn't run to safety, wanted to stay and help her. And then encounters this artifact thing.
Would it be Monster S?
I think she's a monstress.
No, because like, it's M-O-N-S-T-R-E-S-S. Monstress. Yeah. So, but it was very good. And like I said, you know, for the value, it was outstanding. And it's funny, because this was one of those ones where if I ordered 40, then they were returnable. And then they send me a number 17, another 17 on top of that as, like, consignment. And the problem is this thing's so thick, I can only fit like 10 on the shelf.
Yeah.
So it's just, I had them in three different places, and it didn't sell a lot last week. I want to say I only sold a couple last week, but this week it must have gotten good press and stuff, because all of a sudden I've sold a bunch this week. But yeah, if you're looking like for a good read, it's almost, I don't want to say trade size, but
it's a thick
there was
book.
A lot, was. There was a real lot. There was a lot to the story. The art was absolutely amazing. So that's it for me. Those are my 10.
Why is there?
Tap out. Okay.
Well, we talked about everything. But Amazing Spider-Man, number 3.
Didn't get to it.
Can't
keep up with weekly books.
Amazing Spider-Man, by the third
is it
issue.
Amazing?
No. And that's kind of the problem.
Is it Spider-Man?
Yeah,
see, I liked how the first two kind of wrapped themselves up. It was
doesn't.
Just, it was, well, the first two kind of did. My only question about it was there was this whole plot with Black Cat,
yeah,
that wasn't addressed at all in the
you
first
mean
two.
From the last
arc.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I'm
what
sorry.
Happened with Black Cat?
Remember, she was
she's
coming
like
to
the
get
new
him
crime
because
lord.
Where she was the
yeah,
yeah she was the top crime lord, and she was coming after Spider-Man because of the way Doc Ock treated her.
Oh yeah.
So
well, it deals with the Zodiac thing still in this issue, which
oh,
I thought
okay.
was
I thought that
up.
Was done. Yeah,
yeah, and they continue where now it's the it's Scorpio, who is their leader. Who originally Scorpio is Nick Fury's brother, if I remember right, and like, they talk about the new Nick Fury is there. He's talking in S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're like, oh, did your dad ever tell you about this? He's like, yeah. And I was just like, when? You knew him for like an hour, and then he went to the moon. Like,
well, they had a good heart-to-heart.
I guess so. They figured everything out.
Maybe they email or Facebook. You don't know.
It was funny. In issue two, he and the Prowler took his special car down to this undersea base, and I just had a total Phantom Menace vibe.
Oh, yeah, it was during, very Phantom
Menace. Because they were making,
There's always
a bigger fish.
But in this issue, it's just Scorpio's, like, he wants to go retrieve something at that S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. And they call in Spider-Man, but he doesn't go. He's giving Johnny Storm a tour of the building he just purchased, which was the Baxter building. And
I don't think Johnny Storm needs a tour of the Baxter building.
Well, he wanted to show him. I guess Johnny Storm showed up unexpectedly because he wasn't happy that he bought the Baxter building. He didn't want anybody, I guess, especially Peter, to buy it, being his best friend.
Okay. Next time I'll let it get torn down.
So they walk through the building, and, you know, he keeps getting mad. They fought for a little bit. Then he changes back into his Peter Parker look instead of Spider-Man, and he shows him around a little bit, and he gets mad because he converted Johnny's bedroom into the bathroom, which was the senior, like, bathroom.
The executive
bathroom. So that would be his bathroom. And so he wasn't happy. They fight a little bit more, and then they go on, and he shows them the tour, and once they get down to the bottom floor, he's like, there's one thing I wanted to show you. And then the lobby way is a statue of the Fantastic Four. So it shows you that, okay, Sue and Reed still exist, which took my theory away from Secret Wars that they wouldn't exist. And that's why the two went off and did different things. Supposedly they broke up. And that's what the old I mentioned in it about that. So he was happy. He's just like, oh, well, at least you're honoring.
Well, what about Franklin and Valeria?
They were on the statue, too. So
Dragon Man and...
No. Just the regulars. Okay. Just the family. So
not the FF.
Yeah, no. So still, the battle was going on with Scorpio. It turned out that he just wanted to go and eliminate Leo, who had information. And he was just like, oh, thanks for saving me, but he didn't. In the end. And the ending had another surprise villain. And I don't want to tell anybody who it is, because that's kind of the surprise of the issue to go and read it. But each issue has had a surprise, like, oh, it's this villain. Oh, it's that villain. And we didn't know they were around or something. Dun, dun, dun. First one was Doc Ock.
It was paced by Pete, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. They've got it. It was... But no, the first one had Doc Ock and what's the machine called, the robot? Spider-Man? I don't know. He's that weird robot that looks like he's from the 60s. And he was, actually. The second villain was Rhino, and then they had another one in this one. So I don't know if they're going for like a
new Sinister Six
or something. I don't know. They're not like, somebody's not like collecting them all. They just keep appearing at the end. And, it just, I think they brought in, Dave, do you remember they were dealing, Daredevil was dealing with like an African warlord and at one time in Daredevil, and I think he kidnapped his mother, who was the nun.
Oh,
you remember that storyline?
Yeah, I
think this is the same guy. Well, yeah, and they had him in it, and that's who had a meeting with the villain at the end.
Okay, yeah, that was in. The villain was from, I forget the name. It was in Wakanda. They had to go to Wakanda.
Yeah, it was Wakanda. So I'm gonna say maybe it had something. It almost looked like that guy. I don't remember though. It's been that long.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But Spider-Man's not bad. My problem with Spider-Man right now is that it's not. You don't get a Peter Parker story. Like, you're not getting, well, Peter has any problems. Well, Peter doesn't have any problems anymore. He's rich. You know, it's just like, okay, so we lost that part. So every issue is just Spider-Man going on a crazy adventure. And it's just, it kind of isn't a fun story. There's no story to it. It's very much like I've been saying, you know, throughout the podcast about everything seems to be going for a younger audience. So this almost feels like, oh, if I was going to watch a cartoon episode of Spider-Man, well, it's him versus Scorpio, and they're, you know, going up against a terrorist organization, and Spider-Man's rich, and he has a submarine. We could sell this as a toy, and that kind of thing. It's not feeling like Spider-Man. And I think that's...
There's Lion in it.
Huh?
There's Ms. Lion.
There's a lion in it. His name's Leo, and he's part of the Zodiac. So, and that's another thing. Like Zodiac.
When Iceman transformed. He broke, yeah, built himself up.
Yeah.
And then he would throw a Coke bottle.
An empty Coke bottle.
You've thrown the full ones before.
I didn't throw it. It was a Pepsi. It was a Pepsi. Can, yeah, and it dropped out and exploded. I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't
It wasn't a Coke.
The
it was
container
a Pepsi.
And the brand do not matter. It still flew through the air and exploded.
Bum, bum, bum.
No, if I throw it, it flew through the air. It actually dropped.
Through the air.
That's not flying. That's falling.
It was just flying in a bad direction.
Spider-Man.
It's falling
in style. It's a book, and you can pick it up if you want, but I don't highly recommend it anymore. I don't. It just isn't that great.
But it's Spider-Man, so you're going to continue to pick it up.
Yeah, that's kind of my problem.
That's you do. You complain about a book, but you will keep buying it over and over again. And
especially if it's Amazing Spider-Man. I will not.
Star Wars.
Star Wars got a little better. That's what I said.
But it got a little better.
Nine issues you were complaining about.
I wasn't complaining that there was only one part in this issue. No, when I was talking about it, it was
the tape.
Oh no, you were.
I'll go back.
Were complaining about it.
I complained about the Lando. Or not the Lando stuff. The Han Solo and his wife thing. I didn't like that.
You complained about everything for a while there.
Of the Luke Skywalker stuff, I'm not minding at all.
I call shenanigans on everything he's saying right now.
I agree. Go back to the tape.
Rewind it, Colin.
No.
Okay.
It's a turd sandwich, but they put a little sugar on it, so it's okay now.
You consistently said that Star Wars was bad, but Vader was great.
Yes.
Vader is a good book.
And you were not looking forward to the crossover because Star Wars was...
I didn't even bring up the crossover.
Vader down. No, that was me.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was me. I said...
See, nobody's able to listen to
what I said.
You're
vindicated on that one.
So, no, I don't mind the Star Wars book right now. I like the story going on with Luke Skywalker. Like, I do. I think they're getting it on that. It still feels like a fan fiction to me.
It's kind of like if you just, you know, keep getting the issues long enough, eventually on accident they'll tell a decent story.
It's a possibility, yeah.
It's like when you're held captive, and then after a while you can sympathize with your
Stockholm Syndrome.
Because they are
Stockholm Syndrome from Marvel Comics.
Because they are going into this Vader Down event, too, that's another reason why I don't want to drop the Star Wars title. Because if I drop the Star Wars title, then I'm going to be getting it, because to participate in reading... Vader Down.
You wouldn't it even if Vader Down.
Or you'll do
exist.
What I
probably
did.
Not.
I'm just going to read Vader.
I don't mind it that much to get rid of it now. Earlier on, I really didn't like the book, though.
Right, but you continued to read it.
Yeah, but it did get enough that I was fine with it, enough to read it. I'm not, like, that I wasn't complaining, like, this sucks, like, it was a total fan fiction. It was. Now it's not so much of that.
Okay.
But, that's all I read, Colin.
That's it.
So okay. What did you do? What
he already said. What books
I did mine.
Do you have for next week?
For next week, do you want to know what's coming next week? The books I have coming for on next week are we have Batman week. Europa number one, the long awaited. Black Knight number one, the long awaited and highly sought after. Yes. Bloodshot Reborn number 8 for you guys. Nice. Clean Room number 2. Cognetic number 2. Then we got some cool action figures. We got the DC Icons. We have Batman Last Rites, Dead Man Brightest Day, Green Arrow Longbow Hunters, and Mr. Miracle Earth 2. Deadpool number 2. I know Pat's excited. Extraordinary X-Men number 2. Josh is excited.
I'm excited to look at it and not buy it.
I Hate Fairyland number 2.
Why do you hate Fairyland?
Jughead number 2.
But he really hates the variant of I Hate Fairyland.
Mighty Thor number 1. It was just unexpected.
Yeah.
See, at least this time they
said it's uncensored.
Yeah, it said uncensored version. Ms. Marvel number 1. Did I say Mighty Thor? Mighty Thor number 1. No. Ms. Marvel number 1. New Avengers number 3. Orphan Black Helsinki number 1. Paybacks number 3. Pretty Deadly number 6 after like a year and a half layoff. Red Thorn number 1. That's the next Vertigo book. Secret Wars 2 number 1. Yep, we're already starting series 2 before number 1's over.
T-O-O.
I know. Six Gun Gorilla, wow. Pen and Ink. I'm looking forward to this because it's issue 1 and 2 in the actual size, black and white art. So I'm looking forward to that. Spider-Woman number 1. Star Trek Green Lantern number 5.
Yay!
Star Wars number 12. Star Wars Vader Down number 1. Star-Lord number 1. Telos number 2. Titans Hunt number 2. Tokyo Ghost number 3.
Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers Annual, which is just a little weird being number 2. Issue 2 just came out this week, so I'm not quite sure how this annual
it's
fits
been
that
in. Long.
Yeah. 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 And Uncanny Inhumans number 2. And then for Josh, the biggie,
Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 1. Are you getting any of the axes?
What was that? I should be. Yeah, as far as I know, I should be getting some of the axes. So, we're not getting, on my list, but that might be coming.
We're getting more axes?
That Valiant might be coming. Yes. Is giving, they're just giving it to you, right? Yeah, they're giving
sure
away
come from it.
To some of their partner shops.
The ones they like.
Actual they like battle axes.
They bought me dinner.
Metal blades engraved for Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
I want a battle axe.
Are they metal
axe.
Or plastic?
They're metal, man.
Are they?
They are
wow.
metal.
Very cool. Well, I should hopefully get one of those because they like me.
You're not gay. You can't have one.
Oh, you only get one?
You get
one.
I don't know.
I thought it was like you get one if you buy it, because if that's the case, I'll buy it just so I can have an axe.
Yeah.
To grind?
Oh, I grind plenty of axes.
Like, it's like a full-size
battle
axe. Have you been drinking?
No.
What happens if there's a zombie apocalypse? How badass you be? You got a battle axe.
I don't think the zombies really care how badass you
no,
are.
No, but you would intimidate the hell out of the living.
Oh, out of the zombies, I was going
to
say.
I had to really restrain myself from asking the Valiant dude, like, so, you want his battle axes?
He's like, I got 10 in the car.
They're in the trunk.
So
that's
how,
all we got.
How do, like, people find you, Colin, or whatever?
Well,
on the corner of...
Yeah, and there have been some stalkers, and no, you can find me at the store. Or you can always email me at colin@pittsburghcomics.com. The website is www.pittsburghcomics.com. Twitter is @pghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics.
The Instagrams.
Instagram at pghcomics. I haven't done much with that.
Check out the latest episode of Comics Now.
Yeah, issue 2 went up on Friday, or episode 2.
I have to
2.
Say that the comic theater was a lot better.
Yes.
Except for the text. It was all, like, flashing.
I had
and,
nothing to do with that.
Yeah. I did tell Colin he probably shouldn't stand behind that television because it changes, like, the...
Yeah, it does.
Of the,
does it? Okay.
Yeah, where
that's where I'm doing
tell
what
him,
I'm told.
No.
I'm not
no,
the producer.
More. But you're for a statue and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So what's going on at the shop?
Yeah,
not a whole lot right now. Like I said, we do have a signing coming up on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's for Stray. It's a little more low-key.
I was setting
low-key.
You up for that.
He's
not
prepared for this.
A little more low-key. And then the Saturday after Thanksgiving is Small Business Saturday, and it's also a local comic shop day. I'll get a list of the books going up.
Yeah, why don't you give a little refresher about what that means?
Well, what it is we had the idea for Free Comic Book Day, and then the record industry kind of took it, and because they couldn't really give away free records, they made special limited edition records for sale on a special day. And so we're kind of taking that idea back, and we're doing some limited edition runs. It's some variants, limited run hardcovers. I'm going to get a bunch of stuff from Black Mask. They're doing a couple things. I'm actually getting a case.
How about like a Young Terrorist number 2? Because I really like the
Well, yeah, but they're doing a special edition box set of all their books that show how it ties together into a united world.
Okay.
But I'm also getting, I think I ordered a case of the We Can Never Go Home hardcovers, limited edition hardcovers. So I'll post the list. It's just really weird because, like, some of it, it's because it's not well defined. It's like they don't want us gouging people, but it's like it's really hard to. When you get one copy of a variant, because it's such a limited run, to say, oh, and I'll just sell it for $3.99, and, you know, so it's like I've ordered all this stuff. So I'm not quite sure how to play stuff like that. I might also do it.
Well, is there like an MSRP on that?
There is on everything, and I'm not sure exactly what the rules are. Like, they've told us they don't want us gouging, which I understand. Like, I have there's a Bitch Planet hardcover that I got two of, and our MSRP on them is $50. It's like, okay. But then the other problem is they don't want us taking, like, reservations. The idea is to get people into the store, which I get. But I also don't want the first guy in the store to buy everything.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just figure out in my head how to do something. Have it, like, you can buy any of the items if you buy a minimum amount, like a $50 purchase, and then you can purchase one of these at a regular price.
System, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to run it. Yeah. Because some of it came in, a lot of it came in damaged, so I'm hoping to get damage replacements. Oh, wow. So
that sucks.
And it's a lot of stuff that I just don't quite get, so I'm hoping there's some demand for it due to the limited nature. But, like, these big treasury editions of Rick and Morty and Invader Zim, which sell okay, but I don't know if anybody's going to be coming in for a big $20 treasury edition. One book made me a little bit mad just because it's a variant edition of a book, but my cost on it was $10. I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize that. I never would have ordered, you know, like, five of those. At that price. So, yeah, I think we're all trying to figure it out. Because, of course, you know, they don't want us selling all these things for $100, but I'm also hesitant to sell, you know, a Marvel, you know, it was a Wolverine black and white sketch variant that's only for this. I'm hesitant to sell that for $3.99 when each store participating only got one. So there's only like 100 and some of them out there. One of the fun things is Diamond accidentally sent some of the, there was a variant for all different Avengers for this, and Diamond accidentally sent it to some non-participating stores, one of which was just an eBay store. And so now they're selling them online already. And it's kind of like, oh, great. So I got 10 of them, and they're already out there. Yeah. And it's
so somebody,
like,
didn't plan this out very well.
Diamond
so didn't precious. do well. I mean, I give them a lot of benefit of the doubt. This is the first time they decided to do it. They kind of got things started back at San Diego. So the participation isn't great. I mean, it's going to be neat. There's going to be a version of, there's a special variant of, Dark Knight Master Race that we haven't gotten yet.
I finally saw the picture of that slipcover.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Doesn't that look good? That sold. And they're like, that's not the final cover, but I'm like, anything even close to that. It's like, I'm wondering if that 30 is going to be enough right now. I might need to bump up my number. I wish I could bump that up and drop the regular, but my number for the regular is already set.
So none of these, like, even the smaller issues, none of it's, like, giveaway stuff.
No, it's not a free comic book day. It's more, but the special. I'm excited about the hardcovers because the way it was presented to us was it to get people to buy, like, gifts type things like that.
Yeah, it's a unique thing.
But a variant cover of All New Wolverine, super exciting. But like the Bitch Planet hardcover, that this is the only way it's going to be in hardcover, or the We Can Never Go Home, which is funny because I ordered twice as many hardcovers as I did of the trades. Also getting them all signed. So that'd be cool. I asked him to sign one to me because I said one will be going home. It was funny, I'd order a case of 21, which seemed like a really odd number.
Yeah, it's...
It's the first, so I don't have... I'm not really judgmental of this one. I just need to look at the rules. Like, I know we can't sell stuff on eBay for a certain amount of time. Like, they want us to hold
except
it.
Except for eBay can.
Well, but that was a mistake. But, like, they don't want us to sell on eBay for, like, 30 days. And, like, I just had to relook.
How do they
re-look.
Keep track of that? Like, what if somebody gets it and then puts it on eBay? I mean,
well, because it'd be on the eBay store. You know, like, it'd be on my store.
It'd be on your
if it was
store.
Just,
I got,
yeah.
I get you.
But that's the other fear, is I don't want to sell, you know, that one where every store got one for $3.99 only to have that guy then flip it online for $50. It's like, well, how did that help me?
Yeah.
You know, I made my buck and a half on it and great.
Yeah.
So, I think that's one of those things we're going to have to look at and see how viable it is and all that stuff. But I do need to get that loaded up. I need to get some,
that's small.
I need to make that event and share that on, Facebook as an event and all this stuff. It's been a long
month.
Fall. It really has. It just feels like I just have not gotten my feet under me. And then, like, being away last weekend, There was a lot gearing up for that.
You've kind of felt that way, though, since you went away months ago.
Yeah. Well, which one? Because I went away last month. I went to Baltimore. I went to San Diego. Yeah. I feel there's very much... Sorry. Penguins won. I feel very much just a lot of plate spinning right now, and that I can't get ahead. And then to have certain customers come in for 3 hours of productivity, my most productive time. But it's fun. I'm going to get a phone call from a guy who's looking to open a store tomorrow. I want to say in Michigan. I'm not 100% sure.
Store.
No, but he emailed me saying he got my contact info off Comics Pro, off their website, and wanted to ask me some questions about Comics Pro. So, and I'm probably one of the most vocal supporters of it. And I'm, I don't make any money. I just think it's amazing. And that's what I told him. He asked, what I thought of the, because they have a lot of programs like special credit card processing and insurance and some buying things through different companies. And I mentioned to him that I don't really do any of those. But that annual meeting is the most important thing I do every year. And even more, not so much now, because this last one, it was fine. It had nothing to do with that.
Some Marvel.
No, but this was my fifth one, and now I'm kind of, okay, I know what's going on. But for those first couple where it was all new and eye-opening, it was, those two in Dallas were just fantastic. Absolutely amazing. So, he's going to call me tomorrow at 11, so I'm really looking forward to that. Just talking to him about that. He asked a question about the mentoring program, and I'm like, I don't know specifics, but just I know the value of the people in the program. That's about all I got.
So that's a podcast?
That's a podcast.
Wow.
Oh, don't forget to tell us what you want us to do for the 200th episode.
Yeah, so more questions if you got them. I mean, it can't be that hard. Why do you guys do this? Will you please stop talking?
I think that.
Or what you want to hear. You want to hear more of this, less of that, more in-depth reviews.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, let us know what you want. I don't want to say accommodate, that's not the right word.
Segment, if you want a different type of information.
Yeah, I mean, besides Vermont, Pat News, I've been having fun.
We can cancel Pat News.
No, I've been having fun.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Been having fun throwing in these little editorials, but it's just, I decided I wanted to use it a little more for business, or at least try to get some things
out there. We're going to have a segment called You Just Got Daved.
Yeah, well.
Figure out what you can do with that, Dave.
How did Marvel screw up this week?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So we'll have fun talking about Secret Wars 7 next week.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Will we now?
No, I'm just saying, I wonder if you guys will think what I'm thinking. And it's not horrible.
Exactly
no, it's not horrible, but just a lot of, I'm reading this going, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so say it again.
That's a podcast.
And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bye.